The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday. It is September 2nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, students in the school district of Philadelphia are starting the school year today, but they won't be in the classroom. Classes will be held remotely through at least the first quarter, which ends in November. That means technology will play a key role, and Superintendent Dr. William Height said it will be different, a different experience than the virtual learning students had a few months ago. This is unlike the spring, and individuals will have lessons. They will be graded. We are taking attendance, said Dr. Height. So it's really important that individuals are logged on.
So they weren't doing that before?
No. So like in the spring, it was sort of like, even though a lot of districts weren't saying it, it was just recommended that you continue.
Just kind of like modules and things like that?
It was, well, so, I mean, our experience was they were given things to do at home, and there were, it wasn't live teaching. Like, it wasn't lessons. There were either recorded lessons or just some instructions on what to do, and then Jace would do, you
know.
I
didn't know that. Yeah, I thought they were doing that, going through the full machinations of a regular day. So if a kid acted up in class, would the teacher instruct the kid to smack himself?
But now they're doing, I mean, they are. They're taking attendance.
You okay, are like a regular class.
Expected 100% to be, yeah, I mean, even so much so where if, you know, your kid isn't logged on, you get that absent phone call from the school.
I think that probably will play better, right?
Than
just go do this. Hey.
Yeah.
That has a little bit more structure.
And part of the reason I would assume is, you know, like we spoke to teachers yesterday, there's a lot of work that goes into putting on a virtual class.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
With all attendance and making sure that they have all the necessary teaching aids and things like that. So I think that's why they couldn't get it together in the beginning of the year when the quarantine happened.
It just came tearing out of nowhere, and they were kind of, you know, doing the best they could.
And they've never had to do this before. You know,
exactly.
At least there
robots
was some time now.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Planning time.
Right,
and
yeah.
So
yeah.
They, you know, they have it down now. So there are three technology support centers where families can pick up Chromebooks for their students if they haven't already. The district is loaning one to any student who doesn't already have one. There will be a hotline for technical support issues. There are three locations where parents can pick up the Chromebooks for the students from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Wednesday. And those are at the Education Center at the Philadelphia School District headquarters, which is 440 North Broad Street in the first lobby. Fitzpatrick Annex Building, which is in the rear of the elementary school. And that's at 4101 Chalfont Drive, and then Martin Luther King High School, 6100 Stenton Avenue.
Yeah, yesterday was our device pickup day.
Okay.
So we had to go get those. But
do they all have to be Chromebooks, or can you log on if you have your own laptop?
They're compatible with Google Classroom,
okay.
So it's easier. Like, if you have we had the
yep.
iPad, and some of the things you couldn't get to.
All right.
So it's compatible with what they're using.
But the Chromebook or what we had to use.
I'm sorry, did you have to pay to rent it for the year?
You know what? I don't know. They've used Chromebooks every year.
I'm picking up Ben's tomorrow afternoon in his school district, and it's like a $75 fee, but you get to keep it for the year, and then in theory return it at the end of the year.
So that's a question I have, because I read a story about a lot of the Chromebooks that were picked up last go around were pawned.
Ended
up being sold. Like, you know, and that's an issue.
How could they not be?
To at least make sure that you return it and get,
right.
You know, or you're penalized if you don't, right?
Yeah, Nick, I don't know if we had to pay for it or not, but you can call Rochelle and ask her.
Okay. Yeah.
She's building a nuclear reactor.
You didn't start school. Your kids didn't start school yet, Preston.
No. Parker starts at Monco today.
Okay.
And then I think they start next week.
Okay.
Casey, your kids are starting later, right?
Yeah, the 14th.
The 14th.
Oh, wow.
And we started already.
Wow.
Yeah, Monday was the first day.
My kids had an option to go in school or full virtual, and we decided to keep them full virtual. And so they're starting later than the other students that I believe start right after Labor Day next week.
Do you know how many students in this district are going back? You have any idea like what the percentage was?
Well, so my kids go to Catholic school, so the district is different than our school. So what I've heard is that only 18 families are going full virtual, and we're one of those.
Interesting.
18. Yeah,
oh, wow.
Not that many.
So the district resource guide for obtaining a Chromebook can be found on the website starting September 3rd. The district is offering grab-and-go meals at several locations throughout the city. They must be picked up by a parent or guardian from 9 a.m. until noon on Thursdays. The fire department of the city of New York put a rarely used maneuver into action to save a woman who was hanging from the 16th floor window during a high-rise fire in Manhattan. The fire was reported Tuesday near Lenox Avenue and West 135th Street just before 1:30 in the afternoon. Firefighters found the woman panicking at a window on the 16th floor and decided to do something they rarely do, a roof rope rescue from the 17th floor. Firefighter Brian Quinn said he stayed at the window and tried to calm her down and told her not to jump. The New York City Fire Department commissioner said this was really a heroic rescue and shows the talent and bravery of the members of the Fire Department of New York. They used their skills quickly, assessed the situation quickly, did what needed to be done bravely. Thanks to their bravery, effort, and ingenuity, we have someone who was saved here on Lenox Avenue. It's a happy day for her and a happy day for all of us. Quinn said he stayed behind the woman so that if she did decide to let go or jump, he was holding on to her and then also holding on to the glass. He had one arm inside of the window, holding on to the wall and the other around her waist. The woman was treated for smoke inhalation and the fire was under control just after 2 o'clock. The details surrounding the fire are not yet known. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, a for-profit party on Jarvis Road in Sicklerville, New Jersey, was so loud and so large, police were called in to break it up. The officer reported between 250 and 300 people, said Gloucester Township Police Chief David Harkins. They actually had security working the gate. The chief said it was clear that this wasn't a family party. There were a lot of out-of-state tags. The homeowner was likely making a profit off of his in-ground pool.
This is an outrage because they ran out of food at about 8:30.
No!
Yeah, and
no!
I was like, what in the F?
You should see the picture. Kathy showed it to me. Literally nuts to butts. I mean,
wow. On top of each other.
On top of each other, around the pool, like almost falling in the pool. Yeah, there are so many
people. Was this at Pierre's house? Because he just opened up the pool.
Right. Yeah. People were being charged upwards of $150 to attend, said Chief Harkins. It was advertised in clandestine ways. We weren't aware of this party, unlike the party.
$150?
Yeah, we had a few weeks ago. Yeah, to go.
Who
to
was
a
playing
party.
There?
There was a DJ. I mean, it was like a full on.
Was Kreischer doing
party.
That show?
The Gloucester Township Police Department has encountered a number of large parties, promoted pool parties in Sicklerville this summer. On August 9th, a party on Prospect Court was broken up, and the homeowner and promoter were both fined. The same thing happened to this owner of the property on Jarvis Road on Sunday. The concern with the gathering isn't just the noise and the parking issues, but it's the threat of spreading the illness.
Of course. Why are these happening now that there's a pandemic? Why was this crap not happening? Or is it just getting busted now because of a pandemic?
Yeah, because now it's not allowed. They're technically not allowed to gather 300 people in somebody's
but
backyard.
But before any of this stuff, were you allowed to have for-profit parties at your house? Like, is this dude checking IDs?
Well, they were going. You know they were going on. Yeah. They made movies about these for-profit parties.
Yeah.
They go on. Were they charging $150 a ticket?
We're glancing over the big issue here. $150.
Well, but you know,
in someone's backyard. Pool party.
Well, Brett, they promised a lot of food, right?
Right, and they ran out about 8:30. And I'm like, and they had buffalo dip, but
that's
they
outrageous.
Didn't.
It was so good.
It was so good. Yeah. All right, so that's $100. That's $100. I'll pay.
And you know what? They looked young, too.
Like, I know.
Where are these young
Where'd
people
you get
$150?
Yeah, yeah.
To go to a pool party. Yeah. So the chief says, please.
I was with Pierre, and he said, you know, this is a crazy good party.
The chief says, please be responsible. It's not worth contributing to the outbreak. We're making good progress. The homeowner was issued citations for noise violations, maintaining a nuisance, and littering after the street in front of his residence
littering.
Was covered with trash and broken bottles. The investigation is continuing.
I just don't know what you get for $150. Like, is this like...
It's the party. It's the DJ.
Well, that's exactly what he's saying.
Well, no, but I'm wondering if there are, like, if there's an understanding that, like, hey, it's going to be ample
like
amount
a
of
goodie
drugs.
Bag.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, like, Coke
no.
and...
Case. Yeah. Right now, your options are limited. People are paying a premium to go to a party.
All right.
That's it.
I think that's what it is. So, but then again,
it's not like you get one
on.
Of those bags that they give to presenters at the Academy Awards.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Who
but
was it?
That's
was,
my guess.
There was somebody, a friend of mine went to this party, but I think it was Ja Rule was doing a house party
what?
In Margate and was DJing at this house. And they just, because none of the bars are open, none of the clubs are open. Atlantic City's, you know, was closed. So,
God, I'd
yeah,
pay
he was doing
$150 to see Ja Rule.
Some, yeah, some sort of party. And she went over to. It.
Man, it's never been better times. When, like if you're Coolio, you can write your own check.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Ja Rule. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Flyers beat the New York Islanders to stay alive in last night's Game 5. Scott Laughton tipped home a shot from Ivan Provorov in overtime to give the Flyers a 4-3 win and force a sixth game in the series. Claude Giroux, James Van Riemsdyk, and Matt Niskanen all scored their first goals of the playoffs, but the Islanders charged back with two quick goals late in the third period to tie it. That set the stage for Laughton's winner, giving the Flyers their second overtime win of the series. Carter Hart stopped 29 shots in the win. The two teams play again in Toronto tomorrow night for Game 6, and the puck drops at 7:05. The Phillies also won, beating the Washington Nationals last night at the ballpark. Aaron Nola threw a two-hit ball over eight innings. Andrew McCutchen hit a three-run home run, and Alex Bohm also went deep to lead the Phillies to a 6-0 win. They have won 7 of their last 8 games to move a game over 500 for the first time this season and remain in a National League playoff spot. The series against the Nats continues tonight in South Philly. Max Scherzer will get the start for Washington, while Zach Wheeler will pitch for the Phillies. Game time is set for 7:05. And Eagles head coach Doug Peterson said Carson Wentz's lower body injury is nothing to worry about, but as a precaution, Wentz sat out of practice.
Oh, my ball.
He wore his jersey and took some snaps during warm-ups, but didn't participate in the actual practice. Wentz might not practice all week as the team rests him up for the season opener on September 13th in Washington. Peterson said his quarterback will be ready to go for week one. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Bunch, Kath. Wednesday, that means a couple of things. Secret text words. So we got a prize chance for you to win a digital download of The Goonies.
Aww.
That is correct. They have The Goonies out on 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and digital now. You can get that digital download. Text the word secret to 39333. Send a word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call them with the word designated caller wins. And just for the hell of it, we'll grab a random text or two. So a couple of different ways for you to win by doing one thing, and that's texting the word secret to us. Also, a Wednesday ritual is a TV check-in. Fox, good day. We'll go on with Mike and Alex this morning and see what they want to talk about. We also have a couple of other guests joining us. We have on the show today Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
The man who brought us Ghostbusters. But as Steve was saying this morning while doing research for this interview, his achievements and contributions to music go way farther than you think they do.
I think I'm going to have to apologize to Ray Parker Jr. when we get him on, because, the Ghostbusters dude.
Right.
And figured it'd be... He is like a virtuoso studio musician who's played with some of Motown's greats.
He's
amazing.
He's a go-to sideman and songwriter. So we're going to spend some time talking to him about that later on. There's a documentary about him called Who You Gonna Call? It's available on video on demand. So we'll get to him later today. And we also have from the film Tenet, John David Washington join us today as well.
Did you see Black Klansman?
I have not watched it from beginning to end, but
he's really good. Yeah.
He's great in it. So I'm looking forward to talking to him as well. And that movie is in select theaters starting tomorrow, so we'll spend some time with him too. All right, let's take a break. Come back in a second. We'll roll through the entertainment report, the stupid question, do some giveaways. You know the drill. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's ask you a stupid question and see if you know the answer to it. And if you do and you get through, we're going to set you up a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 for PS4. The question I have for you concerns a camera. What is the hole in the camera that light travels through called? 215-263-WMMR. The hole in the camera that light travels through.
Oh, yeah.
Not that hole.
Oh.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. I'm going to mention some birthdays while we're waiting for those calls to come in today, Wednesday, September 2nd. We'll start with a big one. Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah.
Has his birthday. Has a new movie out with the Bill and Ted film.
So he's got Matrix franchise, John Wick. Maybe they're going to start doing more Bill and Ted movies
as
well.
It's a franchise. There's three of them.
Yeah,
so, you
that's
know.
Pretty freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And you see him playing in Bill and Ted, and as John Wick
couldn't be more different, but it's phenomenal. I love those John Wick movies.
Is that the first thing you remember him from, Keanu Reeves?
No. Nope.
The first notable thing I recall
from. First thing, yes, absolutely. Yeah. That was the first time I saw him. And just as mop-topped. The cool thing is that in the movie, Preston, the most recent one, the girl playing his daughter is Casey.
Yeah, it looks like her. It looks like him in the first movie.
Yeah.
He's lucky he broke the stereotype because he had the kind of stoner thing for Bill and Ted, for River's Edge, for Parenthood.
Yes, you know.
He's great in that
was
movie.
Did River's Edge... River's Edge had to come after Bill and Ted, right?
It was around that time. So
that might be the first time I saw
him. It might have been before Bill and Ted,
So when we talked to Alex Winter a couple of weeks ago, he had said after Bill and Ted, after they shot that, that's when Keanu did the thing at Hedra Theater in Wallingford.
Okay.
So he was a resident at that theater in Wallingford. And it's kind of a cool little, I don't know what's going on there now because of the pandemic, but there's a house that's down the street from Hedra that, like, the actors live in and hang in. And
that's cool.
You know, yeah.
And then he played another stoner character in I Love You to Death, which is hilarious. He's so great.
It's really good.
Him and William Hurt were awesome. So he's doing wonderful. He's on top of the world. He's 56 years old today. Salma Hayek. Yes. And this is actually from a movie she was in, this sound effect.
Is it really?
Yeah, she was in Dogma. That's what this is from. She plays Serendipity.
Oh, that scene is so good.
Yes, it's in a strip club. But she is she's lovely. She's wonderful. She's a great actress.
Is she responsible for is one of the sexiest scenes in movies from Dusk Till Dawn?
Yes.
When she does the dance.
It's crazy hot.
Unbelievable.
She's 54
today. Rewatched Desperado not that long ago.
Another one.
Yeah, but it was on a Spanish channel. Turns out it doesn't really matter. You're not really watching it for any of the dialogue.
Speaking of super hot, it's Terry Bradshaw's birthday.
Oh my God, so hot.
He's got a show coming out.
I know he does.
It's one of those, I'm an idiot, and my family tells me I'm an idiot shows.
Breedy and Bradshaw, or the Bradshaw Bunch.
It's like the Gene Simmons.
Or the Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, all of that, where you have
Dad's an idiot.
The patriarch, but just don't mind Dad.
He's so stupid and successful.
Exactly. Yeah. He's 72 today.
Oh, he directs a few episodes of the Bradshaw Bunch, too.
Oh, what does that involve? That's like, I directed my selfie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The great English heavyweight boxer Lennox Lewis has birthday today as well. He's 55. That gentleman is huge.
Yes.
He's a very large individual and a great boxer for his time. Jimmy Connors, speaking about great for his time, one of the Hall of Fame pro tennis players.
He used to be, there was that romance with Chris Everett.
That's right.
I remember, I actually saw them at the height of that at Forest Hills. He used to go to the tournament every year, and he was the heartthrob. And
he was known for an explosive temper.
Yes,
on the
he was.
Too.
Then McEnroe happened.
Yep, and then McEnroe took it to another level.
Yep.
Jimmy Connors is 68 today. Mark Harmon.
Oh, my God.
From NCIS. And...
So a good guy or a prick? We're trying to figure out, right?
Yeah. It's hard to tell.
Well, I like to see him as Shoop. You know, like that's how I envision him.
That's a great character. But in NCIS, my wife watches all those types of shows.
The procedurals.
He is, his character's an a-hole. Like, has always been this...
Gruff.
I've never liked him on that show. He's just, he didn't have any... You know,
appealing
humanity.
I know. I watched the show a few times. I'm like, what is the big thing with this show?
What's your deal, dude? All right, but anyway, and what I didn't know is he's still married to Pam Dauber.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. So that's Mindy of Mork and Mindy fame. He is 69 today, and then the last birthday comes from the world of Toto and Steve Porcaro, who's the keyboardist for the band. One of the Porcaro brothers is celebrating his 63rd birthday today.
Which Porcaro died?
Jeff, who's a drummer, is a great studio set. Well, they're all great session guys, Steve Lukather and the Porcaro brothers and everyone in that band. So happy birthday to him. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question this morning. What is the name of the hole in the camera that light travels through cold? 215-263-WMMR, and I am going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, morning.
Hey, good morning. Am I on the radio?
You are.
Oh, you guys are awesome.
Thank you. Mike, what's the name of the hole in the camera where the light travels through?
What is an aperture?
What is? You are correct.
Yeah!
Hang on a second, Mike. We have for you a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater and Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 for PS4. You can play the most iconic skateboarding games ever made in one epic collection. Rebuild from the ground up in incredible HD. All the Pro Skaters' levels and tricks are back and fully remastered. It's available tomorrow on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC via Epic, and you can pre-order today.
Speaking of the what is answer framing, Nick, you were pointing out that new episodes of Jeopardy.
Yeah, start in less than 2 weeks at this
very
point.
Very cool.
Yeah, so, awesome. And you, Steve, said something to the effect of, I guess new episodes of Wheel will follow shortly, although I think this week they're airing new episodes of Wheel that were filmed before the pandemic began. So because people are like high-fiving and stuff. So they have still some in the can or whatever, which, you know. But yeah, new episode of Jeopardy coming very soon.
Cool. We're going to start with Johnny Depp. He has requested that his defamation lawsuit against Amber Heard be delayed due to the upcoming filming of Fantastic Beasts 3.
Could you delay it?
The filming was put on hold like many Hollywood shoots and events due to the pandemic, but as conditions in main filming site London have improved, production is set to pick up again starting in October and possibly ending February.
Have you seen the movies?
Conflicting with the Depp Heard trial, which is set to run through January of next year. I have, and I have pretty much forgotten them.
Yeah, I like
them. They didn't do much
Nick,
for me.
You're the Super Potter fan, but how do they...
They're largely forgettable.
Yeah, you know,
They're not awful, but they're just not great. And there's some levels to the other first eight Harry Potter movies that just really aren't there in these. And I don't hate them. I just don't love them.
I think they work better in England.
Maybe.
For some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's kind of odd that world.
Well, they can understand that language.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can't
anyhow,
stand subtitles.
That's just my take. The Fantastic Beasts actor also requested on August 20th that the trial be postponed until sometime between March and June of 2021. The legal papers state that Heard has agreed to meet on September 11th to discuss the potential delay and that the proposed postponement would not entail any prejudice to her, much less unfair prejudice, as she is expected to film Aquaman 2 sometime next year.
So they're following through. There were questions about whether or not she was going to be part of Aquaman 2 because of all this bad press and the fact that she occasionally poops in her bed.
The news of the actor's request to postpone the defamation case comes nearly a month after the legal battle against Rupert Murdoch-owned tabloid newspaper The Sun. While the 16-day dispute is concluded, a verdict has not been reached. Judge Justice Nickel is set to deliver a result and isn't set until September at the earliest, this month.
Does this become a new litmus test? You say, I wouldn't kick her out of bed for eating crackers. Is it now I wouldn't kick her out of bed for taking a dump?
If you're talking about Amber Heard level,
right,
probably,
yeah.
Yes. Tyler Perry is officially a billionaire, according to Forbes. The breakdown.
I was just watching a Madea movie last night.
The breakdown of the 50-year-old filmmaker's net worth includes $320 million for his entire library of movies, TV shows, plays, etc., being that he owns 100% of all his content.
Wow.
$300 million also in cash and investments. $280 million for Tyler Perry's studios in Georgia, $60 million for his equity stake in the streaming service BET Plus, and $40 million in homes and toys.
Can you imagine and how fast that's been accrued when you stop to think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Yeah. Of course, the fans had a lot to say about the news. One person had tweeted, when Tyler Perry had his first play, it only sold 12 tickets, and he had to sleep in his car because he didn't make enough for his rent. Today, he's officially a billionaire, so never give up on your dreams.
Yeah, that Madea stuff used to be just live stage stuff. He's taking it out on a one last stage run.
Really?
That's what we hear, yeah. And so that's pretty cool. But, I mean, the guy seems like an incredibly nice guy.
He's very charitable.
He's very charitable.
He likes to help out, you know, in a personal way. Like, he reaches out and does stuff on his own. So, good for him. 42, the film, will be re-released in AMC theaters to honor Chadwick Boseman. In the film, he stars as, of course, baseball legend Jackie Robinson. The film will drop on Thursday, tomorrow, in 300 theaters. 42 was picked as it tied with his... tied with his role in 2018's Black Panther as the fan favorite, and tickets will be $5 to go see the movie.
Have you seen it?
No, I never
It's
have.
Great.
Is it great?
You know, it's great because of his performance. As an overall baseball movie, it's good.
Okay.
But his performance is really tremendous.
Meanwhile, his final role in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, an adaptation of August Wilson's hit 1982 film co-starring Viola Davis, Glenn Turman, and Coleman Domingo, will appear on Netflix. On Instagram, Domingo had written, "We created something beautiful together." His last film, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. The film wrestles with God. We wrestled with August Wilson's text. We wrestled with music. We wrestled with faith. We shared such a loving brotherhood since the first time we did a reading together many moons ago at New York Stage and Film.
So this is a wrestling movie.
It's all about wrestling.
Is the Iron Sheik in it?
No, I think he's dead.
No,
right?
He's not. Whoa. He's a great follow on Twitter.
Okay, then I'm way wrong.
He tweeted the other day. It was like 8 o'clock at night.
Goes, I love how you follow the Kardashians and the Iron Sheik.
Yes. Who? Okay, anyway.
He tells everybody to go F themselves every day. And so it was like 8 o'clock at night. He's like, oh, my God, I almost totally forgot to tell you guys to go F yourselves. And he says jabroni all the time, too.
He's got a 500,000 followers.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got more than Eddie Vedder right now, right?
Yeah, maybe. By the way, dictionary.com added jabroni yesterday. Yeah.
Do we have a hand in that as well?
A lot of people let us know about that.
All right.
We're a little part of it.
We would have to give the credit to the It's
Rob.
Always Sunny guys.
Yeah, Rob McElhenney. But we're an itty bitty piece of that.
As far as pop culture goes, you can't stop us.
No. Ma Rainey is part of Wilson's 10-play exploration of black identity known as the Pittsburgh Cycle. Meanwhile, a sequel to Black Panther has been planned. Disney will reportedly go forward with it, and the powers that be are reportedly struggling with whether to recast Boseman's T'Challa role or to write the character out.
And I don't know if this is even possible or if you even go with if this is part of the law. Craig Ligons could speak to this. But Killmonger, is it possible, anything's possible in the movies, that he were to be reincarnated or brought back or he wasn't dead?
Wait, who's Killmonger?
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah.
Is his name in that?
Right.
Okay.
So, because there was a fraternal relationship.
Yeah, there was, but you remember, it's whoever beats the Black Panther in
right.
combat can take on the mantle of Black Panther and move forward.
Right. Now he dies
eating that fruit or whatever that plant is.
Whatever it is. I think they're Malamars.
Are they Malamars?
Yeah. They're such great side characters in that, his sisters, all of the strong female leads, and then the other tribesmen too.
I like the guy from the mountain tribe.
Awesome. He's great. Is he the Black Panther though?
Yeah, probably not.
He's the formidable friend.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
Listen, the character Black Panther existed, so it's not.
Yeah.
I know. And I don't mean like this isn't like a knock on Chadwick because he really brought something to that character.
Yeah.
But the character exists. It's not a disservice to him.
Right.
Or his legacy to just recast him and pretend like nothing happened. It's not a disservice to him at all.
To keep T'Challa and have someone else as him.
Yes.
I think they should bring in a new person. But
many different David Banners have there been?
One.
Right.
No, there've been a whole bunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, they remember in the TV show he was Bruce Banner.
Yeah, and then there. It is Bruce.
No, it was David on the TV show.
It was David on the TV show. That's right. But and then also, Rhodey. Rhodey's been two different people, but those were for different reasons. Yeah.
But okay. Well,
you know the impact of this. It's not like Rhodey. Oh my God, an iconic character. But here, there's a lot more import to
as a nod to the man, to the actor. And I know they may do it as a out of respect. So.
Like no one else plays.
Because he died, as opposed to someone else just bailing on the role, like
but
Terrence
this isn't
Howard
like
and,
you know having
Don Cheadle
just recasting it and putting somebody else in there. It's not an FU.
You're in the it's okay column.
I don't see anything wrong with it.
All right, let's. Nobody's getting bent out of shape about it.
Bent out of shape.
These are just questions.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the royal family. The Sussexes are honoring Prince Harry's late mother, Princess Diana, to mark the 23rd anniversary of her death. Harry and Meghan Markle volunteered with the Preschool Learning Center in L.A. and spent Monday working in the garden, replanting flowers, healthy vegetables that the children can grow.
I'm going to help this vegetable.
You're going to help this vegetable? Healthy vegetables.
Oh.
The Learning Center is an arm of the Assistance League of L.A., which works to improve the lives of impoverished kids. And the Learning Center aims to deliver high-quality child care to low-income kids between the ages of 3, and 5. They also planted Diana's favorite flower, forget-me-nots, in the garden. Some of the other plantings included petunias, California wildflowers, tomato squash, and sweet peas.
They released a picture of Princess Di on the anniversary, I guess, of her death, one I'd never seen before. It was the best picture I've ever seen of Princess Diana. Like, amazing.
Was it just a close-up shot?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Bradley Cooper is an A-lister.
Our good friend.
With endless resources, but he tells A Star Is Born co-star Anthony Ramos for an interview cover story that he's caring for his mother himself amid the pandemic right now. He said, I'm with my daughter and my mother and my two dogs, and we have not left the house. My mother is going to be 80. She has a colostomy bag, so I can't let anybody in the house, and I can't leave the house because if she gets it, it's over.
Is he here in Philadelphia? Is he here in the area?
It does not say in this article. I don't know, but he describes a little bit of their of what they have going on. Thankfully, he says that he and Leah, his daughter, whom he shares with his ex, Arena Shake, have gotten plenty of fresh air. He said, we live in a little townhouse. Thankfully, there's a backyard. I'm running a one-man preschool. We get up, we do swim class in the bathtub. I'm going to guess they're not here.
Well, you know, I think if he was here, of course, you'd draw comfort from being able to listen to his good friends every morning.
True. Cooper also swapped insights into how life has changed amid the pandemic. He told Ramos, my hunch is that this is going to be a complete chiropractic adjustment for our culture. That question might be answered by how we all move forward. It's all changed now.
Is the guy conducting the interview, is he the guy that you first see in A Star Is Born who gets him into the club?
Yep.
I like that actor.
He was also in Hamilton. He plays two characters in Hamilton. So his star is continuing to rise. His name is Anthony Ramos. He's great.
Bradley Cooper's playing, at least I think he's directing and playing the lead of it's the story of John Peters, the producer, who was involved in a long-term relationship with Barbara Streisand and produced some of the iconic movies of the 70s. I've seen stills of him from the movie, and I think that's what he's doing.
They also discussed fame. Cooper said, that award season stuff is a real test. He said, it's set up to foster that mentality. It's quite a thing to work through, and it's completely devoid of artistic creation. It's not why you sacrifice everything to create art, and yet you spend so much time being a part of it if you're, in quotes, lucky enough to be a part of it.
He says that life really mimics the lyrics of Shiloh.
He said it's ultimately a great thing because it really does make you face ego, vanity, and insecurity. It's very interesting and utterly meaningless.
Bradley Cooper's right on that, Preston.
He's awesome. So Channing Tatum is taking on a new form of creation with his first children's book called The One and Only Sparkella. The actor and director dedicated the book to his daughter, Everly. He wrote to Everly, the most brilliant, magical being that I've ever known. He said, my only wish is for more time in this life to play in all the magical realms that we have created. This is also for all dads that might have a little girl. Wear whatever, dance however, and be as magical as you can, because I promise they will return the love.
Is he single again, Channing Tatum?
I don't know. Last I heard, he and Jesse J were kind of... They've been off and on for a little while.
This photo that he posted on Instagram will get anybody to go out with him.
Oh, yeah. He's with his daughter reading the book, and he's not wearing a shirt.
Yeah.
Well, you actually don't see her.
Like an apron or something.
He's got an apron on and angel's wings and a little tiara and everything. So, yeah. So it's coming out. The book is going to be published on May 4th, and it tells the story of a girl named Ella who gets teased for loving sparkly things.
Well, knock it off.
Yeah.
I like sparkly things.
All right. 26 years after his song Gin and Juice dominated the charts, Snoop Dogg has announced his venture into the spirits market with his very indigo gin. Why didn't this happen ages ago?
He's got to have his own weed, right?
His own strain, I would think
Right?
Yeah. But this, I mean, this writes itself.
Yeah.
He had the song, Gin and Juice. And, of course, you know, we've seen the success that some of the other actors have had.
Ryan Reynolds
specifically with gin.
Yeah.
He said, I can't wait for the world to taste my remix on gin. In the press release, he said, when I wrote Gin and Juice back in 94, it was about good feelings and real experiences. It just naturally became a global anthem. When creating Indigo, I wanted to give those feelings new life with an approachable gin that's smooth like the D-O-double-G.
Laid back.
With my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Working alongside Keenan Towns, co-founder of the Trusted Spirits, the duo created Indigo in a laid-back California style, it says. Each bottle is five times distilled with seven botanicals and features flavors of strawberry and citrus, making it slightly sweet, crispy, and fruity.
I think it's...
You like gin?
I think it's Indago, like Snoop Dogg. I think that's the pun for the name of this.
Indagos.
Yeah.
I do like gin. I just had a gin martini over the weekend.
Really?
I haven't had one in a while, yeah. So it tastes different, he said, from any other gin in the world. Snoop Dogg tells people of the gluten-free liquor.
Oh, it's gluten-free.
So it's healthy.
Yeah. drink all you want, son. That's healthy.
We call it juicy and laid back. You're easily to be able to spot it. The eye-catching bottles are bright purple color and come top with gold foil stamps with Snoop's signature.
I tell you, you should have your own signature liquor like this, Preston. I mean, there's money to be had there.
I've been working with revivalists lately, endorsing their products, so maybe we can come up with a limited edition Preston.
Why don't you call it Snoop Dogg Gin?
Bourbon.
Oh, yo.
A Brandywine distillery, so.
Preston Bourbon.
Yeah.
Come on. We'll
come up with a name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Captain Blackfingers?
Ooh.
How about that?
There's already a Captain Morgan, so
stay away from that.
Yeah.
But I like Blackfinger Bourbon, man.
Blackfinger Bourbon.
That's not bad. And then I have to explain the whole origin of Blackfinger. I used to get it from the resin from scraping my friend's bong on my fingers.
But that's a billion-dollar idea. We just throw out billion-dollar ideas every morning.
Blackfinger Bourbon.
Blackfinger Bourbon.
That sounds catchy.
And you could have your one finger with
it. Yeah, like number one.
Yeah.
With a black...
Or like you just voted in Iran.
Exactly. Just like that. Blackfinger Bourbon. I love it. All right, Revivalist. Get
billion
started
dollar idea. Call us.
Billion-dollar idea. Just like Madea, man.
Yeah.
$1 billion.
Right there. $12 in a small theater, and now he's a billionaire.
That's right. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here? I have several stories I could go to, but not enough time. How about this? Claire Crawley is returning to Instagram, apparently after the wild 16th season of The Bachelorette had wrapped.
There was a big void, and I felt it every day.
The 39-year-old shared an Instagram story in which she danced along to Palm Springs Summer by Cabana Ace.
Yeah, it's everything I want.
In the corner of the video, a GIF flashed the words, thankful, grateful, and blessed. This comes after reports.
Painful.
But no comfort. Bloated. Gassy.
Crampy.
Bleeding.
Spotting. But no confirmation of ABC that Crawley was replaced mid-season after falling for a contestant with Tashia Adams.
So they're not
Tayshia Adams.
They're not even hitting this really all that much because I think they just want to roll it out the way that it happened. But she fell in love. She pre-fell in love with one of the Bachelors, and that caused the series to change course. Mid-season.
Shouldn't they be celebrating love? Isn't that
I think
what
they should
all
be celebrating
anyway?
And then she was replaced by
Tayshia Adams.
Tayshia, who's gorgeous as well.
Yeah, I've been told you pronounce her name Tayshia. It's spelled Tayshia, but I think somebody texted and told me it's Tayshia because I haven't watched anything or heard.
No.
I've just been reading about it, so I haven't heard pronunciation.
You read the books?
Yeah, that's right. There's much more story there.
Absolutely,
you guys
they
have
can't
no
pull
idea
that. And it's like, that's what the main complaint with the Potter books was. You can't. They're too rich. It creates a whole world.
All right, actor Peter Facinelli.
Yes, you know him.
Twilight series. Is that mainly what he's known for?
Okay, a couple other things.
Well, he says coronavirus has whipped him into shape.
He does look good.
He tells people that he's physically in better shape than quote I've ever been, adding everything's kind of shut down right now and I wanted to focus on myself. So
I think he stopped eating is what happened.
He said, I did a lot of meditating, a lot of reading, and a lot of growing personally, and just wanted to physically see if I could get as physically fit as I could.
And say physically a lot in one sentence.
He is also teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation, Steve.
Well, that's good. Has he had it?
And the men's underwear brand Nick Taylor to raise awareness for prostate cancer. He admits his, oh my God.
Yeah.
Nick just pulled up a picture of him. Dude is jacked. He admits his 30-pound weight loss came in handy for the underwear campaign.
Yeah.
There's your motivation.
There you go. There's your motivation.
It's easy if you have like a 7-figure deal to motivate you to stick to your
diet.
I'm
going to skip this whoopie pie.
And your exercise program. The goal of the campaign is to get men talking about the prostate health, something that doesn't really come easily to a lot of people. And in this kind of fun way, he said, it doesn't have to be sexy. It could just be you and a work shirt and underwear and you.
What the hell is he talking about?
Three of your guy friends.
Wait,
that makes no sense.
You're going to be with three of your guy friends in your underwear?
Oh, and you tag three of your guy friends.
Hey, Lou, tell Bob and Chuck to get their underwear and come over and we'll have a big prostate discussion. Sure, I will.
You remember that scene in the
Should
movie?
Should I bring cucumbers and lube?
In the movie Toy Soldiers where they're all hanging out in the dorm room in their underwear.
Yeah.
I'm like, who has ever done that?
Right?
Like, nobody, no guys, boys, nobody has ever hung out 5 minutes like deep in your underwear, just people don't do that.
It's like the girls having a pillow fight in lingerie. It doesn't happen.
No, it's what
guys
want to happen, and it doesn't happen.
God, you know what? When I was a kid, so our family belonged to a country club.
Privilege. Uh-huh. Not everyone could book. Yes, they can.
And I remember as a kid, whenever I would go into the men's...
The locker room.
The locker room. Thank you. And if you wanted to go into the hot tub at the time, or the whatever you call it, the whirlpool it was called at the time, or the sauna, you went in buck naked.
Yes.
And I was, Steve, I was like 12 years old.
Could you
imagine that today?
No.
And I was going in there with old, wrinkly naked men.
That's what made me gay. I'll tell you this. Yes, I was scarred. My godfather, who I just met a couple of times when I was younger, his name was Nick, great guy, and my dad, you know, we went to his country club, Preston, and that scarred me going into the back area.
But do I have to go in here naked?
Bunch of naked dudes with all sorts of unpleasant junk. I was just getting familiar with what...
Oh, that's terrible.
Now, did you go in naked too?
No!
See, I did.
Did you?
It was like, you got to take your clothes off if you want to go in there. I mean, full on.
Did you have full bush?
Buck ass, naked kid. Dude, I had no bush. I was 12 years old.
I was like 10, and it was, I don't know. I mean, I think I had a bathing suit on. We'd use the pool.
Okay.
The country club pool.
Yeah.
So, no, thank God they didn't make me get naked.
There's a guy.
I think it slightly scarred me to be
honest. Course.
There's a guy at my gym, and the only reason I know about this is because everyone talks about him, but he's still in that mentality that like you can walk around the locker room completely naked, and several people have gone to the owner and said, hey, can you tell so and so like we're all wearing clothes in there.
Well, the thing that in thinking back about it, and look, you want to walk around the locker room naked, whatever, people do it, they do it, but here
you
I
should
am,
be ashamed of your body,
but here I no here I am as a child,
yeah,
walking around naked, and I felt weird. It wasn't so bizarre for me to see other naked people. I just felt weird
of
being
course.
Naked.
You're not sure of those feelings.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Calm
down. Right. Okay, it's okay.
Yeah. Do you remember when we had
here, drink this.
We had interns Steve and Chinstrap.
Yes.
Hanging in the men's locker room. They were naked, right?
Were they naked?
Yeah.
They were at LA. Was it LA Fitness?
No, it was Kathy's one in Conchie.
Super fit.
So Kathy's Kathy's gym. They're in the locker room completely naked playing like, Connect Four.
Yeah, they're doing like doing bicycle kicks. And
That's all I remember is that video.
They had their feet touching each other, laying on their backs, opposite ends, and they were doing bicycles. Dude, it was awesome.
I hate that culture. So I hate that nude stuff. I hate the steam bath and all that sitting naked. I never got it, and I'll never take to it.
But thinking back as a kid, the good old days.
Yeah.
So Peter Facinelli and his buddies all hang out in their underwear.
And talk about prostate.
All right, let's do the clips. Based on a novel of the same name, the TV series Lovecraft Country blends American history with horror and fantasy elements. In this clip, star Journey Smollett discusses the path her character Letty goes down with Jonathan Majors' character's Atticus. Here we go.
In order to go to the places that we had to go to, Atticus and Letty become soul tied through this secret that they share, which creates a level of dysfunction inevitably, because when a relationship is built on secrets, you have to do a lot of work to get those secrets out.
A new episode of Lovecraft Country is on HBO Sunday at 9. Here's the next clip. With the world at stake, a man is given just one word as he ventures into a journey of international espionage. That word is Tenet. In this clip, director Christopher Nolan talks about why time is the focal point for all of his movies.
That idea that time is abstract and mutable and complex, it's one of the defining characteristics of our existence, but it's very hard to describe or explain. And that, to me, makes it fertile ground for cinema, because the movie camera is the first sort of imaging instrument that was created that can literally see time and can let us look at time differently. There's a special relationship between movies and time, and I've always been interested in exploring that.
Really?
Yeah. Tenet is in theaters today. We will have the star of that film, John David Washington, joining us in the 9 o'clock hour.
He went with the word Tenet because it's a palindrome.
Oh, okay. And so kind of like a metaphor for infinity, I guess, right. Or something
and,
like that, never ending.
They keep saying inversion, so you yeah. Okay. Backwards and forwards, it's the
I guess
same.
It's better than Taco Cat, right?
Yeah, Taco Cat, but yeah.
Yeah, a race car.
About yeah. 6 years ago, I had the idea for Taco Cat. And I thought it was a great sort of treatise on the way time is perceived. And I thought the Taco Cat can lead us on this journey. With his little dissected lettuce and various cheese pieces. It's more a symphony for the mouth.
I get it. I totally get it. I'm in.
And an immersion for the brain.
I'm all in for Taco Cat. All right, so let's. That's what I got for you.
Yeah.
That's the entertainment report. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Guests, giveaways, stuff. We have it all on this Wednesday morning. Stay with us.
Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
I would like to hit quickly the Laurel House Walk a Mile in Her Shoes is going virtual, like a lot of events this year going virtual, and it's coming up on the 12th, and we need you to sign up for Team WMMR. It's easy. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, and it is for victims of domestic abuse. They're a safe haven for those people that are suffering through that, and that numbers have been huge during the pandemic. So we'd like you to be a part of it. And this year you can just pretend to do it if you want to. But of course you can walk along and post and encourage people to donate to Laurel House and other organizations such as this. And it's real easy. Just go, just join our team, please. We'd love for you to be a part of it.
In your neighborhood. So you have people that you're friendly with, you know, pop up.
Yeah.
You can do it. You know, keep your, obviously follow all the guidelines that keep you safe. Yeah. But a couple of you out walking in the street in your high heels.
Yeah.
It's dumb and fun. And that's the whole purpose.
Pass the word. And the bottom line is we need you to help us raise the money. So that's available at PrestonandSteve.com as well as a lot of other charity endeavors that you can participate in. So please help out if you can. We know times are tough, but if you can help, that'd be wonderful. Steve, you teased something to us. You didn't want to share it with us because we wanted to get the information fresh on the air, but you had some kind of a realization recently.
It's one of those things where, like, I never realized that.
Okay.
I didn't. Now, I've started to do a little bit of, you know, woodworking. My brothers-in-law are all contractors. And I think it's fun, and I'm trying to get my chops up, and, you know, I have the tools, and I have the saws and all that stuff, and drills. I'm amassing my equipment in a nice way. I'm not trying to, you know, I didn't buy everything at once. I'm trying to do this right instead of the way I usually do it, which is go so hog wild that I get stuff I never use. And then I was just watching a video about something that I just bought, a tool, and the guy does something with a Craftsman screwdriver, and I'm like, oh my God, I never knew that's what that was for. So you know the classic Craftsman screwdriver that has the angled, so it's like a hexagon, I guess, handle.
Yes.
And then the blue thing underneath it. It has like a blue base underneath it.
Blue base.
So it's red and like a red and white.
Okay.
And then it goes down to like a blue nub that it sticks into. And below that is the shaft of the screwdriver.
where you open it up and inside are the bits?
So here.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
right.
Okay, gotcha.
Right.
We see a picture of it. Yes.
So why do you think it's designed that way?
I don't know, because the back part of it is slotted, so your grip holds nicely. And I don't know, Steve.
I always thought it was like to keep it from rolling off a table. Do you know what it's for?
No.
It's so you can take a combination wrench, put it over the handle.
Okay.
And the blue part will moves around. So you can actually provide extra torque while you're screwing in a screw.
So
it's actually, I always thought, this goddamn screwdriver is broken. But that's the whole, it's designed so you can put a wrench over the handle.
That's crazy. So like what
Did
we're looking.
Did you know that?
No, but
and
like.
You're doing this stuff too.
Well, it makes perfect sense. To me, it looks like, you know, like basically when you're putting a bike pedal on.
Right.
You would think that it would be perfectly round, but it's not. It's got, let's just call them walls. It's got walls on it so that you can put a wrench on there. I never knew that
it's
either,
it's actually
man.
Designed so you can slide the combination wrench over the top, and then you hold on to the blue base, and you can turn it and provide extra torque when you're tightening or loosening a screw.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You just kind of are guiding it with your hands.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So it's smooth. I gotcha. Okay. That makes sense.
I never knew that. I always thought I thought Craftsman made great stuff. These things are broken.
Yeah. In shop class, we made our own screwdrivers, and the handle, it was interesting, that plastic part, they had like a big, long, like 10-foot long section of that.
Right.
And you would cut it off, and then you would use like a grinder to smooth out and make that little area that you were talking about.
Did you know that that's what that was for?
No, I didn't know what it was for.
And the guy who's leading the video was almost condescending. I'm like, I'm sorry. No, I'm talking to the computer. I guess I'm not new to this.
Yeah. But you feel like an idiot. You can't help but not feel like an idiot. And there's a text that came in, and Preston, I'll let you read it. But it's like, I didn't know either, Steve. So if it makes you feel any better, I had no clue.
Here it says, yeah, you put a wrench on him. Learned that when I was 12.
Okay, well, maybe you're a tradesman. You're a craftsman. You know, like.
I know.
A lot of us don't know these things,
I
right?
I had no effing idea.
There's there's a little hole at the end of a lot of pots and pans, right?
Right.
And what I didn't realize until adulthood is that that's for putting in a spatula. It's a place to store one of the tools that you're using for cooking.
I wouldn't know.
I think it's initially made to hang up on a hook.
Is it? Yeah. Okay.
And I think that's people have figured out, oh, you can do this too.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Because there are a lot of, you'll see these things on like, you know, BuzzFeed and websites that have these lists and so on, you know, items for that, things that have an intention you never knew about. Like, and I'll give you an example, when you're opening a soda, the tab, okay, the pull tab that you use to open it.
Yeah.
Once you open it, if you spin it around so that it covers the hole, there's a little tiny hole in that tab, and you stick your straw through it, and it'll keep your straw perpendicular.
Right. I didn't know that.
I don't think it was made for that.
No. Do you know it wasn't made for that?
But you can use it that way. That's my guess.
Okay. I wonder if it was my original bullet. If I were to look at that initially, Preston, I'd say that's so you can put a little bit more of your finger through it as you pop it open.
Yeah.
But if there's a straw plan involved, that's ingenious. And then now I feel extra stupid.
Here, Nick just pulled up a video called 4 Tape Measure Tricks. And in the end of the tape measure, the little
the lip,
the lip that you use to pull it out
right.
of the container. There's actually a small hole in there, and that is used to you can clip it onto a nail. If you put in a nail and you want to measure something,
I watch my brother-in-law do that.
It'll hold it in place.
That looks like it was by design. Like I think
probably
was designed to do that type.
That's actually to hold a straw neck.
I don't think I've never seen anybody do that. Like my dad will put that out to the furthest it'll go, and it doesn't bend, and you know what I mean. Like he knows how to use it. I've never seen him. Use a nail. Like, are seasoned contractors actually doing that, or is it like me?
You know? You use a nail, or you use, you know, the corner of something.
Yep.
Or okay. your son to, hey, stand there.
Yeah, hold this.
Hold this.
Yeah.
That's
why I had kids.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't use a condom that night.
I wanted to help in the workshop.
My mom didn't know that her iPhone had a flashlight on it, right?
Okay. So, like, what?
And she didn't know. She had no clue. And I had to change this little fixture in her kitchen downstairs. And I was like, oh, here. You know, she's like, well, I have a flashlight over here. I said, well, that's great, but
you
have one right here, and I can't put that flashlight where I need to put it. And you know, but, you know, I could have been, like, a real dick about it. And you're like, hey, you idiot. How long have you had that?
I knew that when I was 12.
Yeah.
By the way, with the flashlight thing, an easier way, if you are doing some work and you need to use it and your hands are full and something like that, you can ask Siri to turn it on and off for you if you want to.
No.
You don't
what,
have
the
to.
Flashlight?
Yeah.
Show me.
I'll show
Stop
you.
It. Yeah. Hey, get out of here.
I'm talking to Siri. Will you, please? Hey, Siri, turn on the flashlight. Here you go. You ready?
No!
Oh, my
God. Did mine go on?
Hey, Siri, turn the flashlight off. Yeah. There you go.
Oh, wow.
So if your hands are full, you can use it. Or if it's sitting in a position where you need it on or off at certain times, you can just use that hands-free function.
Dude, thank you so much.
I didn't know that. I came across some, you know, Siri tricks that you can do online. I was like, well, son of a bitch.
I knew that when I was 12. So, Preston, I used to be able to, you know, you remember how the landlines had flashlights on them?
Yeah.
On my princess phone.
Yeah. I would tape a flashlight to the landline.
And I'd call Maud at the, putting the plugs in at the central phone operating.
All right, so along these lines, I have a question because there's all this work being done on the building, and there's a lot of heavy equipment outside in the parking lot. They're doing a lot of external stuff here at One Valley Plaza right now. I saw two pieces of equipment yesterday that I didn't understand what the use was, and maybe somebody can answer this. One was a forklift, and another one was like a little front-end loader. And on the forklift, on the top of the forklift, looked like almost like an aquarium. And you could see through, and there was water sloshing about. Oh. And then on the back end of the front loader, I'm assuming it's for like ballast.
It's counterbalance.
Yes. Yeah. But
and it's also because they do like to work with an aquarium there. They find it relaxing.
No, there's probably pet fish. I mean, those things are really cool to look at and stuff. Or maybe maybe it's a level thing. I don't know.
All right,
maybe a level
thing. I don't know.
It's possible it could be a level, but my guess is because a lot of times they will use water as ballast and a counterweight.
And I thought initially. They're just moving water around.
Yeah. With that's, fish.
That's, yeah, right? We need to have a tank of water on the other side of the parking lot.
Oh, is that for the koi?
Yeah.
I love it. Have you guys ever had to use a plumb bob before in your woodworking?
No.
What the hell is that? I just want to say plumb bob.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have a project just so I can say, hey, hand me the plumb bob.
Yeah.
It's to make sure you hang something perfectly straight. It's essentially a string with a weight on the end of it.
I got this cool thing that allows you to quickly find, you know, the center and balance a picture that you're hanging.
Oh, I want that so bad.
Have you seen the
Yeah, Instagram.
So I got it from goddamn Instagram. But you pull it down, done.
And by the way, some of those plumb bobs actually have chalk on them. Did you know that?
You chalk your plumb bob?
No.
You don't have to.
Only when I'm alone.
It's getting weird.
Only when I'm alone. But if it's against a wall, you pull it back and snap it.
And it leaves a line.
Leaves a mark on the wall.
All right. I have a question that none of you guys can answer.
Okay.
But when you see spray painting on, like, blacktop, right? Obviously, construction workers are doing that.
Right.
They use different colors. Are those different colors for different things?
So it's funny you should raise this because they're actually doing stuff in my neighborhood.
Is it blue?
They're using orange.
Okay.
Fluorescent orange.
Because I've seen orange and blue and yellow.
Why?
Why?
What distinguishes them? What is going on?
What do you mean? Like orange is used by the water department. Is that what you're saying?
Whatever they're doing, but they're... It's not any other color. Everything that is written in this orange spray paint.
All right. Maybe you can answer some of these questions, or maybe you have something you had kind of an aha moment as in, oh, that's what that's for.
Yeah.
Feel free to get in touch with us. 215-263-WMMR. Hang on. I'm going to go to Eric. Eric, good morning.
My name's Zach.
Oh.
Zach.
All right.
So why do people call you Eric?
Yeah. All right.
Eric.
Zach, what's up?
Well, I don't know if anybody knows this, but on the left side of your steering wheel, there's a little handle. If you push it down, it puts on this light that points left.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, my God. I was like,
Jay? Jay?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that don't know that. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who don't know that.
And to those people, I say, how come they make you do that during your driving test?
Yeah.
Do you think that's important?
Well done, Zach. Well done, Zach.
But that's the kind, he's right, though. Zach is displaying the kind of condescension you'll get when you say, oh, really? I didn't know that was for that.
All right, hang on. The aquarium on the front, or the, on the,
Yes.
Was it a forklift?
It was two different pieces of forklift.
So it's the same thing on both.
Yes. The one was a doohickey and a hobnob.
Steve has got an answer for us. Hey, Steve, good morning.
How you doing, man?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, those are water tanks.
Yes.
What
are their purpose?
Their purpose is they're grinding the blacktop in the parking lot and put the water tanks on the roof so they gravity feed the water down to the mill head.
I mean, come on, guys. I knew that when I was 12.
So you're saying it brings the thing down to the mill head. What the hell
what
are you talking about?
Mean?
So it's being done right in the parking lot. It's not being done up on the roof.
No. He's saying, I would imagine the mill head is, you've seen milling on the road where they kind of chunk it up a little bit.
Right.
So the mill head would be whatever that bit, if you want to call it,
it's basically a big nasty grinding wheel that chews up blacktop.
And so the water comes down. Does it keep it cool to keep it from?
Keeps it cool and keeps the teeth lubricated so that they turn.
Okay, like in a regular drills in a mine. They always have water pouring on them. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
So that's what that's for, Steve?
Yes.
It's not for the fish?
No, dude. You're not going to find a sunfish in there.
All right, what about, Nick said he saw it on a forklift as well.
Well, if you're doing high-rise work, yeah.
Yeah, but what's the purpose? You're not grinding stuff up with a forklift. What would the purpose of the water tank be?
Keep the dust down when you're peeling up the shingles and the tar.
Steve, can we get your number? Nick wants to call you after the show.
Thank you, Steve.
He needs a full description.
Appreciate the information. So,
yeah, right. I'll come over.
Maybe someone else can help.
Yeah, what do you? Maybe I'll go out for coffee. I'll tell you this. he knows. See, he's a perfect example of a guy who knows so much more than we do.
Yeah.
That even his dumbing down is still out of our reach.
It didn't help.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. A lot of people are texting in. It keeps the dust down.
Okay.
So maybe it sprays as. Yeah. I can see that.
If they run out of water, the fish die.
Right. Well, you got to keep an eye on that.
Yeah.
You know. So I would imagine anything that creates dust that sometimes they use water to keep that from,
I suppose,
getting too much in the air.
I'm not satisfied with the answers.
Harm the worker. line seven, is that what you're saying, Casey?
Yeah.
All right, let me go to Brian. Let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Hey, sorry to bother you guys at work.
Nah, okay. Man. What's up, bud?
I just wanted to comment on the lines that you were talking about, the colored lines in the street when you see on the pavement.
Right. The spray paint, okay.
Yeah, whenever anybody wants to do work in the street, to dig down and dig up the dirt, underneath the roadway, there's utility lines. There's water, there's gas, there's sewer, there's fiber optic lines, and each of those colors represents a different line or a pipe or a wire or a cable that's underneath the road.
Example?
So water is blue.
Makes sense.
Blue. Yeah, so you see blue is water. Green is sewer. Yeah, that's dirty water. Yellow is gas lines. Orange would be like telecommunications or fiber optic wires, cable.
Okay. Oh, so that's interesting you bring that up, because we were just wondering, we still have a lot of cables and a lot of, where we are, there's a lot of that stuff winding through the trees, and they always have issues with branches coming down.
Right.
I wonder if they're starting to put in underground lines. And so you're saying orange is the fiber optic stuff.
Yes, fiber optic, cable, telephone wires, things like that.
All right, cool. Interesting.
Very good. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it, man. So you're right, Casey.
Yeah.
The different meaning for the colors.
So it's for the fish.
Yes, it all goes back to the fish. I'm going to go to Nicole, who has a little bit. She was talking about the iPhone.
I said
you can ask Siri to turn your flashlight on and other things like that. Hi, Nicole. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Hello. Thank you, Nicole. What's up?
So I have a Pixel, and I don't know if it's all Androids or just Pixels.
The Google Pixel?
Google Pixel.
Yeah.
So if you say, hey, Google, to activate the assistant and then say Lumos from Harry Potter, it will turn the flashlight on.
Oh, that's okay. Cool.
That's pretty cool. Right.
Nice.
I don't know the command to turn it off. I'd have to Google that one. But, yeah, it's a nerdy version.
What incantation do you use to render someone impotent?
What was that?
Flaccidius.
Flaccidius.
Yes.
Erectus.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything else.
Oh, I just thought it was actually tied into Hogwarts.
Thank you, Nicole.
What did you say, Erectus?
Flaccidius Erectus. Hang on, I'm going to try something. Hey, Siri, turn on the camera. Okay, it does that. The camera's on.
Right.
Let me see if it'll take a picture, though. Hey, Siri, take a picture.
What?
Hey, Siri, take a picture.
Come on, do it, you little bitch.
It won't even respond. So that.
Oh. Well, what did you say to it?
Yeah, what did you do?
What would you do?
Can you reverse the camera angle?
I don't know. I turned it off already.
Turn us around us.
Hey, Siri, turn the camera around. Like, even the Hey, Siri isn't activating at all when I have the camera on. So maybe
now it's shy. Maybe it knows it's on air.
Let's see. Let me go to... hang on a second. Somebody wants the tape measure trick with hanging it on a nail.
Yeah.
Hi, Tom. You're on the air. Good morning.
What's up, guys?
Yo, bud.
All right. So if you set like a nail into a piece of plywood, okay? Now the little slot will hook on the nail. You extend out, and then you have a pencil on the end of your tape measure, so you can draw arcs and or circles. It will pivot on the nail.
Okay.
That makes sense, of course. That's another one of those things. Yeah, that makes total sense.
It's like a compass.
I just thought of something that I learned, Tom. That's in that realm with the screwdrivers and all these tools. When did you finally realize that the end of the screwdriver was black because it's magnetic?
Oh, when I was 12.
I didn't know that black means it's magnetic, right, but yeah. I do know that some are magnetic. And
what do you mean the end of the screwdriver?
So that when you're screwing something in and the end of the screwdriver, where the actual screw sits into the screwdriver, is magnetic to hold it more in place.
Yeah, so what you can do, Kathy, is let's say you've got a hole up here on the wall, and rather than, putting both hands up there, you can take the screw, say a Phillips head screw, and you stick it on there, and it'll stay, and it stays magnetic, and you can use one hand to put it up and get it in place.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you can do
that. With all the work you do around the house.
I know. I don't even know if we
You
have
just
tools.
Built a walk-in humidor.
How about needle-nose pliers? At the base of needle-nose pliers are wire cutters.
Yeah, I've cut my hand many times with that stupid thing because I'm just squeezing too close to the wire cutter, and then I end up pinching my finger.
Ouch.
I don't understand. Mom!
So the actual end of the plier part?
Not the tip, the base.
All right, so this is a tip, like basically
I
right there.
That. Kathy knew it!
I knew that. Yay! Thanks, everyone.
Just the tip.
No, not the tip, the base. You grab the base and you touch
the tip.
Right.
Let me go to...
You rim it.
But be careful with the handle.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, you guys rock.
Thank you, Stephanie. Something about a pepper shaker here, it says.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is every pepper shaker, but I definitely know it works for mine at home because I saw this on Facebook or Instagram. But on the bottom of pepper shakers, there's grooves on the bottom of them. If you flip over the pepper shaker and then use your salt shaker and grind on the bottom of it with the bottom of your salt shaker, it makes your pepper come out faster, so you don't have to, shake your pepper.
Yeah, I saw that on...
What?
Yeah.
I'm not following.
What is this?
Right, I need a video.
Where did the fish go?
On the bottom... Here, I'll show you guys. On the bottom... All right, so this is the bottom of the pepper shaker, right?
Okay.
You turn it around like that. There's grooves on it, right?
Yeah,
so instead
ridges.
Of shaking it, you just... Take the salt shaker
and turn it into a pepper mill?
And no. You rub it around the grooves.
It will just vibrate it.
It vibrates the whole thing and all the pepper coming out.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that either.
It comes out a lot easier than you sitting there and shaking.
Will that work on my cow salt and pepper shakers? I doubt it, right?
Not the cow ones, probably. No. All right.
Yeah,
interesting.
But it's a lot easier
wow. Never knew that, Stephanie.
Rubbing along the bottom of it. Yeah, sometimes Instagram's a good find.
Okay. All right. Yeah, there's a wealth of bizarre knowledge out there about little things like this. And there's tons of stuff in the kitchen, I'm sure, that you can find out about. Yeah, see how they're doing it?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, let me go to Bud. Yo, Bud.
Hey, how you doing, Preston?
Good. What's up, man?
You there?
Yeah. Go ahead, Bud.
Good. All right, so a kitchen gadget, an old-fashioned peeler, the old metal kind, with an open handle, the back of the handle can be used to hollow out the seeds of a cucumber. I think it was designed that way.
I also use that for when you're peeling a potato and there might be like a black spot or eyes that you need, and you can scrape those out with
that. Oh, my God. I use that to remove anal polyps.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good idea.
It's a multi-use tool.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow. And also on a putty knife, we were just redoing my family room, and my friend who's helping me showed me that when you're doing drywall, if there's a nail sticking out, the handle on a putty knife is metal at the back of it. Turn it around and you use it as a hammer, and it makes a really nice indentation when you pop a nail in a little bit further if you need to smooth out a wall.
Okay, for nail polish.
So I get that. Yeah, okay. So we're a couple levels in now. When you start, like, I'm at the beginner level, so I'm just discovering all the things that apparently 12-year-olds know.
Right. Here's a hammer trick that Jim wants to tell us. Hi, Jim. Good morning.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Hey, first of all, I wanted to say hi to the guys in the assembly shop at RW Hardnet. That's where I work, and they all come in early. So.
What's up, fellas?
So I learned this when I was 14, so I'm a late bloomer. If you ever tried to pull out a nail with a claw hammer and the head pops off of the nail and you think you're screwed,
it's a nightmare.
Take your hammer and spin it 90 degrees and pull it sideways. It'll pull the nail right out.
All right, I'm trying to envision what you're saying. Where do the fish come in?
Wait a minute.
You're just kind of getting it stuck in that part on the hammer, and you can still pull it out.
What? Yeah, so instead of pulling back on the hammer part, you know, like you would normally do on a claw hammer?
Uh-huh. On the hammer part. You mean the handle?
No. Okay, so...
Oh, the head of the hammer.
Yeah, exactly. So that's how you normally pull a nail out with the head on it. If the head comes off, just pull it sideways. So you're going on the short side of the hammer.
No.
I'm still trying to see it in my mind.
I don't even know what a hammer looks like.
What are you talking about?
I'm not following here.
You know what a clarinet looks like?
Yes.
Put a metallic end on it that you can break out.
Okay, I got you.
All right, we'll have to send us some visuals on that one, Jim.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, I sure will.
All right, appreciate it, bud.
What's the easy? Yep. Now, I've seen new tools that they come out with all the time, and I'm a sucker for every one of them. When you strip a screw,
mm-hmm.
Have you used any of these devices that supposedly allow you to get that screw out?
I have them, and I've never had to use one. There is, there's one, let's say you don't strip the threads on the screw, but the like the Phillips head part, you know, you've turned and all of a sudden you've wrenched through it, mm-hmm. and it's incapable of accepting a bit to take it out. There's like this gripper type of
I've seen that
thing.
I wondered if it worked,
and I've never had to use it. And then there's another one that actually screws a new hole in it
into the screw.
Into the screw.
I was wondering if that was worth a damn.
I've never had to use it, so I don't know. Okay, we're looking at the video that he's talking about.
But enough of the nail has to be
sticking out
for you to do
it
this.
It bends it sideways.
Yeah.
I follow you. Okay. All right, I got you. Thank you for that tip. I appreciate it. All right, we have to wrap things up. But can I do one more, Casey?
Yeah, man.
Let me see here. How about, we know that one. Okay.
Huh?
Let me try this one. I'm going to go to Ed because I'm not sure what this means. Hey, Ed, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, buddy?
When you're, like, working on your car and you're trying to put a nut on and it's in a hard-to-reach spot, if you have it in your right hand, just snap your fingers. That's the way it'll go on.
So, magic.
Wait. If you're trying to... Explain it again. You're trying to put a nut
on a bolt or something that
yes.
you can't see or reach, and it's hard to get to.
Yeah,
have the nut in your hand, but like just like you're snapping your fingers.
So he's saying between your middle finger and your thumb.
Yes,
and is it use the same method as you're snapping, and you're basically twisting it the right way. You're screwing it. It's just a mnemonic device to remember how to screw it in, how to get it on properly. Right.
Correct.
I thought it was like a magical thing, like, you know.
No.
Oh. Erectus.
Okay.
Screws, right. Erectus.
I understand what he's saying.
Yes, I do. It does make sense, and he's right.
I already knew that. I mean.
Well, you knew that when you were 12.
Yeah, exactly. We're right on schedule. All right, well, anyhow, Steve had a revelation about the screwdriver.
I hope I've opened up your world to the potential of the screwdriver.
Did not know. And good to know, by the way. But thanks anyway. I'm sure there's lists of stuff like this that we can find. But we need to take a break. We're coming back. We do have some bizarre file stories we're going to get to. And we have guests on the program, including the star of the movie Tenet, John David Washington. And Ray Parker Jr.
Yes!
Yeah, Ghostbusters Ray Parker Jr. But his influence and contribution to music goes way beyond what you thought it did.
Yeah.
And there's a documentary coming out about him. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
School goes on. Staples has everything you start your year right, no matter where school happens. All at amazing prices. School on, save on Staples.
Somebody's birthday, Preston, Steve, and all of your listeners. It is on a... Well, somebody on Twitter started this whole thing about what are the most beloved songs of all time? Kind of universally loved songs. And Happy
right.
Birthday makes sense.
Both versions?
Oh, yeah. Well, Stevie's...
Mm-hmm. And then there's the original.
And the original, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a question, I guess, between beloved and sort of perfunctory, you know?
That's true.
Interesting, though. I don't know.
Yeah, there are times when I hate hearing the Happy Birthday song. But it's a classic,
right.
For sure. But the most, we're looking for the most beloved song universally.
Let me give you some
examples.
Go ahead. Sweet Caroline.
Oh. Okay.
Caroline.
Seems like you love it.
Yeah. I'll tell you one that comes to mind that I think is actually very universal, Auld Lang Syne.
Okay.
Oh, right? Yes.
For New Year, and people all seem to, no one, you know, it's,
yeah.
But that also is sort of a
perfunctory
song.
Nobody knows what it means, but.
Right. No. Yeah.
But I know on New Year's, I have to hear it. And if the DJ doesn't play it, I will put it on my phone, so I feel like it'll be bad luck.
Okay.
All right. That makes sense. I got to go with WAP from Cardi B.
Yeah.
Universal. Yeah. Easily.
Yeah. I think
Who
so.
Who doesn't love that?
Everyone loves that song. Or at least what it implies.
You know what? I am not a religious person by nature, but mm-hmm. Amazing Grace always gets me. And it's just, I don't know, I get chills when I hear it. You know?
Yeah, beloved is the phrase that you're, or the word that you're trying to say. Well, what is beloved? You know, what do people just, I love this song, as opposed to, well, this is the time to sing this song.
Right.
Like the thong song is beloved.
Right.
Oh, it's beloved.
Yeah.
There's popular and there's beloved. And I mean, like, I know Casey's all-time favorite song is Let It Be.
By the Beatles. But, I mean, when I first heard about this topic, actually, Mike, my first inclination was to go with Sweet Caroline. Secondly, I would say something like Brown Eyed Girl. I think that's another one.
I love that song.
What about In My Life, the Beatles song? That's a great song.
It's considered one of the greats.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What about Celebrate?
You know, Celebrate good times. Come on.
It's a celebration.
And that's it.
What about God Only Knows by the Beach Boys?
That's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No?
No?
You know, one that everybody likes.
Mike does not like that one.
Uptown Funk.
Uptown. You usually sing that at funerals.
How about September?
Do you remember?
That's a good one.
September. What do we determine? It's not an actual word.
It's body on. I thought it was party on, but they'd say body on.
Do you remember? Body on. Sorry, we start singing.
Body on.
Never was a cloudy day.
What about Baby Shark?
No, Baby Shark.
That doesn't count?
Oh, Baby Shark.
Stop it.
I still love it, Alex. The kids love it?
Yeah. No, they
Me
don't.
Too.
Yeah, but we're talking universally.
They use Baby Shark at
Gitmo.
Gitmo.
Don't Stop Believing.
That's a really good one.
And that falls into the community sing-along, because then you have Living on a Prayer from Bon Jovi. It's an easy go-to. Everybody will start singing it.
And you put that lyric in quotations on your Instagram page so that people know you're deep.
Right.
Sports, We Are the Champion.
Oh, that's a good one, too. There's so many. You can't pick one.
Well, what is the ultimate definitive beloved song? And also, if you're talking just in this country or around the world.
That's true.
Because, you know.
Oh.
That's.
What would that be?
Yeah, yeah.
And
who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out? Siberian throat singer.
What about Baby Got Back?
I love it.
Everyone knows that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's my been anaconda don't want none if it ain't got buns, hun.
Close.
Almost. It's uncanny. Yeah. Yeah. Uncanny how close it is to the original.
Go back to bucket and a mop?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, my gosh.
This has been
okay,
fun.
We're going to move on.
Yeah. Bye.
We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Sometimes it just fizzles out, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it depends. We don't know how much time they have.
You
know?
Yeah, I have
so
no
we
idea.
Can keep cursing like crazy.
By the way, did you have to finish that sponsorship or did you get it all in at the end there, Kathy?
I don't know. Do you guys know what it was?
Staples.
There you go. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you made so. You made an impact. You
impact
show.
Made.
Mm-hmm. That's why radio works.
All right. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And this morning's B-File is brought to you by Cinch, a propane tank home delivery service that brings propane right to your doorstep. Place your order at cinch.com. A tourist has been criticized for humiliating a tiger after she fearlessly grabbed its testicles at a zoo in Thailand.
She grabbed a tiger's balls?
Yes, the woman was
I use the medical term.
The Tiger Kingdom Zoo in Chiang Mai. I wonder if that's the Tiger King version.
Yeah.
Joe Exotic yeah. is, you know, I don't know.
Fong Exotic.
Fong Exotic. So, anyhow, when she posed for selfies with the animal, shockingly, she reached between the cat's legs and then cupped its genitals while photographing the act.
Yeah. You're going to be my regular Saturday night then.
Pictures of her stunt emerged online, and the woman, whose name is Warashaya Akarachayayapas, was criticized by angry locals who accused her of humiliating the tiger.
Does a tiger suffer humiliation?
Similar zoos have faced criticism for allegedly sedating the powerful animals so tourists can pose for pictures with them. So
I think that's the bigger issue.
The animal was sedated.
Yeah.
No, but the issue that they're going after is the fact that she humiliated him.
Okay.
Rashaya defended herself against the stunt and said that she's an animal lover.
Didn't have to touch my balls.
After hearing about the incident, the head of the zookeepers said that the staff are trained to take care of their guests and their tigers.
I don't want to talk about it.
He said that they are monitored carefully during close interactions where people take selfies.
I don't want to talk about it.
To ensure that both are safe. He said, we do not allow tourists to grab the tiger's testicles.
Is there a zoo that specializes in that?
He said, but they are allowed to touch any part of the animal's body as long as our specialists are present. From now on, we'll make sure that no visitors will ever be able to touch this part of the tiger's body again.
Wow.
A dispute between neighbors over how one of them was parenting her 4-year-old child led to one shooting the other.
Huh.
The victim was stable after surgery. She had suffered multiple gunshot wounds that were life-threatening. Officers responded where they found the 24-year-old female victim.
Do they say what the parenting issue or contention was?
Just vaguely. Within minutes of arriving, officers found a suspect based on information and description given by witnesses. Identified the suspect as Tierra Marie Kelly.
I'm going to teach you to be a better parent.
She's being being held on suspicion of attempted first-degree murder. Preliminary investigation revealed the victim and suspect were neighbors living in adjacent apartments, and the conflict started as an argument over how the victim was parenting her child. So, yeah, it was the victim that was getting ostracized and then shot. Officers found the weapon, the suspected being used in the shooting, and took it in as evidence.
That escalated.
The Oklahoma City Police Department responded to a Taco Bell Saturday night just before 9 p.m. in reference to a call about a man going through the drive-thru naked. Christopher Sale, who is 61 years old, was in his vehicle in the drive-thru completely naked.
Now, is that illegal?
But listen to this. So Sale paid for his order at the restaurant, then reportedly asked the employees for an additional taco. One of the employees was not comfortable with this, and another employee gave him the additional taco. He then asked for more sauce, still not leaving the drive-thru. Sale then asked for napkins after receiving the sauce, and then eventually left the drive-thru, only to come back and ask for more sauce on his food. So this guy kept
billed, and there was something
it
up.
Out. He was getting a kick out of doing this. When police were able to detain Sale, he told them that he was hungry, and then all his clothes were in the washer.
Oh, yeah.
He also stated to police that he didn't know it was against the law to drive naked.
So. Well, I wonder, A, there's two things. I wonder if it is against the law to go through a drive-thru naked if you're within your in your car. But you can't be a nuisance.
I would imagine
it is. It
probably is.
Think about the pickle guy, the cheese guy, all of that. They were naked in their own cars.
But they were also performing, I guess so. I don't know.
I would imagine if you're going through a drive-thru where clearly they're sitting above looking down into your vehicle, they're going to have a view of you naked.
Yep.
That would be considered indecent exposure.
What if you put like a map over your crotch? For
maybe that would save things. So, a couple of pilots got quite a surprise while approaching Los Angeles International Airport over the weekend when they spotted somebody apparently flying at about 3,000 feet in the air with a jetpack.
When I saw this story, I'm like, is there a jetpack that goes 3,000 feet in the air?
I don't know. We have audio, I think, of the tower conversation. So the pilot of American Airlines Flight 1997 radioed the L.A. Tower Sunday evening to make the unusual report. Let's go through some of the audio and see if it's what I have here.
The tower, American 1997, we just passed a guy in a jetpack.
American 1997, okay, thank you. Were they off to your left side or right side?
Off the left side, maybe 300 yards or so, about our altitude.
At least one other pilot aboard a Southwest Airlines flight also spotted the unusual aviator. He said, Tower, we just saw a guy pass by us. The LAX tower alerted an inbound JetBlue pilot to be aware of a person with a jetpack reported 300 yards south of the LA final at about 3,000 feet. The pilot responded, we heard and are definitely looking. The bewildered air traffic controller responded, only in LA.
Well, you know, if you're running late for a flight, this might present an option in the future.
The FAA confirmed the jetpack reports and said the matter was referred to local law enforcement. That is crazy.
Steve, there's a company in San Fernando Valley of L.A. Called Jetpack Aviation. They invented the only world's only jetpack, according to them, but it can reach up to 15,000 feet in altitude. And its founder introduced the jetpack in 2015 with a flight around the Statue of Liberty. So,
did you ever see, Nick, the it's almost like the military flying platform? The French army bought some, and at their military rollout one presentation, Preston, they had, it's like straight out of the future, dude holding like a machine gun, and hovering around and just zipping around in the air.
Kind of like Green Goblin sled?
It appears to be like that.
Wow.
It's pretty wild. Nick, if you can find that, if we can find that footage and put it, I said, first off, I thought it was like CGI. Somebody had faked it, but apparently it's a real thing that they have. Mm. And I thought that was about as high as you could go with a jetpack. 15,000 feet?
You would need some oxygen 15,000 feet, wouldn't you, Nick?
I think so. And a light lunch.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Maybe. You get hungry up there.
Maybe they have a kosher meal or something like that.
Yeah, it was Jewish.
You know, you jump out of a plane at 12 to 15, right?
I jumped at 13, so yeah. No, that's true. I guess you wouldn't need it.
Didn't need it then.
Yeah.
Well, what about the light lunch?
Yeah. That's right. You don't need lunch or you don't need oxygen. Okay.
Oxygen.
We don't need lunch either. You can't really eat when you're plummeting to Earth.
Finger food.
Yes.
All right. Nick has found this. Skip forward in it, if you would, please, Nick. The video of the flyboard. That looks pretty wild, man.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So if we can't get the fire truck.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Or one of those water jet pack thingies.
I'm still chomping at the bit to try one of those.
They have them down the shore.
No, you know what? There was a place in Stone Harbor that had it, and I guess maybe liability was just, it wasn't cost effective.
Okay.
Tell me this flyboard isn't the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's pretty badass.
It is cool. I don't know why he needs a gun, but it is cool.
He can shoot the package open on the foodie bra with him.
It won't open. They pack those things tight.
Yeah. Get these goddamn chips open.
I think it was a military demonstration case.
Yes.
They're using that although if he started firing rounds off from that thing, I imagine the recoil would push them all over the place. So,
yeah.
But who knows? All right. That's the bizarre file. Let's take a break. We need to try to stay on time because we're going to have later on this morning Ray Parker Jr. Yep. Him. Ghostbusters. And also John David Washington, the star of the movie Tenet. So we'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style.
whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Flyers were in a must-win situation and won.
Yeah.
Last night. So that's a beautiful thing.
They almost did not.
I know.
There was like a ripple effect. I'm like, you could just sense it. I guess I was on Twitter at the time. And, you know, I can't watch or they lose as part of the deal. And then you could tell immediately. But, yeah, it all came down to.
Well, second game in the series, they've been up 3-1 in the third period and blown a 3-1 lead late in the period. The Islanders came back and tied it up and. It's an elimination game, so you blow it early in the series, and you know maybe it doesn't matter as much, but you blow it last night, and the season is over. I found myself watching the game last night as if there weren't a pandemic going on. I found this playoff hockey to be completely enthralling. The lack of fans hasn't bothered me for a second, and I've been on the edge of my seat. And you guys know me; I can be loud from time to time. And I screamed really loudly when they won an OT the other night. I screamed even louder last night. So Giroux got a goal, JVR got a goal, Niskanen got a goal. None of those guys had scored at all in the playoffs to start. Mm. And it's not lack of trying. G has really been working his ass off, and he finally broke through and got a goal last night. That's me. That's 12 years old at this point.
So I you guys probably didn't notice this in the overtime period. I mean, they were flying all over the place. But the reason they won is because Nick was wearing his Flyer shirt yesterday.
That's it.
Yeah. I don't want to take all.
No, you can't take all the credit because I got my nails done again yesterday as well.
Right.
So that was responsible for goal number three.
Well, Nick, I assume your superstitions run deeper as Casey's does with the Eagles.
Oh my God, it's insane. Yeah. And I'm, you know,
oh, it's not just Eagles. I mean, it's every It's every single professional sports team in this city. It's so it's Flyers, kid, it's Eagles, it's Sixers.
Do your family members have to adhere to your rules?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
don't be stupid.
Oh, man, my wife, the one time, it was a couple of years ago, but the Eagles were playing the Giants, and she was wearing jeans. And I was like, dude, you're wearing jeans, dude. Like, they're blue, and the Giants have blue. And she's like, ah. And she's like, I tried. And she's like, I just couldn't find another pair of pants. Your stupid superstition. But before putting on the blue jeans, she knew that I have a thing, right? So yeah. I had to make sure.
Baby, if you just put up with this, you get all this.
For Christmas last year, I made sure I got her Eagle sweatpants. So now she has something to wear every Sunday.
Well, back to last night's game, I would like to apologize for the Flyers blowing the lead because I sent an email to the show with a link to the Ray Parker Jr. documentary that we are speaking to him today. And at the bottom of the email, I wrote, go Flyers, because there was, 10 minutes left in the third period?
Right.
Thanks
right.
a lot, Marissa. And then they tied it up. So I sent you guys a text retracting that email.
I had no idea what that meant.
I okay.
Neither
that.
Did I. I honestly thought
that. No
is he offended by hockey or?
I thought that was a Ray Parker Flyers connection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't matter. It worked.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh,
well.
Shut up. You people are morons. You guys are idiots.
Oh, come on,
my
man. We're
God.
Having fun. It's fun.
I know, but you actually yelling at your wife?
It's like this thing that we do, right?
I know. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all stupid and silly, and I acknowledge it. The real part of
I
my
would
brain,
call it tongue in cheek, correct?
Yeah. So you know, we got those lawn signs last week, and I put that out, and they lost.
Did you turn it around?
No. Oh, and okay. So,
because I did.
Are you kidding?
Did you put it upside down?
No. So I was like, oh, the losing side was facing the street. Maybe I should put that facing the house,
but. That makes sense to me in a asinine kind of a way. I'm like, yeah, all right, so whatever Casey did, that worked.
Did you guys see the cool moon last night? Anybody? There was like this. No. It's called a September
cool moon.
It was called a September corn moon. Okay. Or Casey's ass.
I was going to moon you, Marissa, and then I thought, oh, that's probably an HR.
Definitely an
yeah.
HR nightmare.
Better show her my dong.
Remember last time you did that?
Well, there was a cool moon.
It didn't work
last
out well
night.
For you.
No, I didn't. And found myself Googling, how often do the Philadelphia Union win when they play after a full moon? Seriously.
And what results did you come across?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, okay. I kind of figured that maybe.
But I'm going for anything.
Okay. Well, you know, you guys are doing your part.
Yeah.
And it works every time.
So are we on track to win the World Series, the Stanley Cup, and the Super Bowl this year?
Well, we all have to do our part.
Yeah. Phils are actually playing really well lately, and that's a weird season. The Phillies have they won again last night. Nola pitched really well. And I know we're going to move on to something else, but next weekend, the way that this season is going for baseball, the Phillies have a 7-game series in Miami against the Marlins because they had to reschedule all those games earlier in the season when there was like rain out and COVID concerns and all that.
It was, at the beginning of all this, I was thinking, what in this hybrid bizarre year? This would be the exact kind of year we'd do that kind of win so that people would always go, yeah, but it was a real year.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. They did a piece on this guy who plays for the Marlins. Press, I know that you love that series. He does. He really does like the Real Sports stuff. It's
one of the journalism.
Yeah. And so there's a guy, his name is Eddie Alvarez. He's not from Philadelphia. He is a rookie, 30 years old. And the only reason he actually got to play is because of the COVID thing that happened with those guys. And so he had to get called up from the minors. But he also is a silver medal winner in the Sochi Olympics in speed skating. And so he started baseball after he won.
He plays baseball and skates?
He's so much faster than everybody at Colmo Fair.
He leads the league in stolen bases, too. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I'm surprised they let that happen.
No, it's wild because, he played baseball growing up, but he's also from Miami. So a speed skater from Miami is just, like, unheard of.
It's like a Jamaican bobsled team.
So as it turns out, he was really good on rollerblades, and then he got into rollerblading races, and then somebody was like, you need to get on ice skates, and then he got on ice skates, and then he was like, obviously Olympic caliber on that. And then he won the medal. And then he was like, all right, let me try baseball now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. When I see people like that and I realize that I've fallen down 200 times just trying to get up on skates.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty good at sports, but people who just naturally excel. What was on the other night? Was it the Babe Dietrich story or just anybody who's athletic at multiple levels?
Oh, I saw a Bo Jackson clip the other day. He had posted of him throwing out a guy who's trying to get to second.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, a rocket for an arm.
Boom. You're waiting for the ball to take a bounce, right? Because he's throwing it from left field to first base. And it doesn't. It doesn't bounce, and it just hits the first baseman on
it's
a line. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, there are some people that can pull it off, and he was one of those, man. Yeah, we're looking at the video of it right now. Wham! I mean, look at it.
Oh, like my God.
That's unreal.
That cannon.
This guy, he was in his height. Nobody had seen anything quite like him. So
I mean, to be that accurate at that speed.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. It's like me.
That's what my first thought was, like, wow, that's like Steve.
Wow. How is your mask game in support of the Philadelphia teams? Do you guys have the proper face masks?
I don't. There's a cool gritty one that I'd like for from the Flyers. I've seen a few of those floating around. I have a Union one, which they gave us, which was kind of cool. But yeah, I could use another like a Flyers one or something.
One that might be suitable. It's the bottom of a monkey's face.
So go Flyers.
And then I have my Batman mask. So, and you have your Superman mask.
Yeah, you gave me this one. This is a nice one, Steve.
Well, actually, Joe gave us both of these.
We have all the sports teams, not officially from the sports teams, just somebody who's making them with fabric.
Drawn in crayon. Flyers is misspelled.
I think Joe Bell, his wife, had made like a Phillies one for him. It looked really cool.
She's really good.
Yeah, I actually need a Phillies and a Flyers one. I have Sixers and I have Eagles. I have actually a few different Eagles ones. But so for our Flyers game day ones, I have to wear the No Sadbro one because it's basically Flyers colors.
I got a whole bunch for my birthday, but I found that my face is really small. And every mask
you just figured
is just
that
kind
out.
Of like
your mouth is big.
Yeah, well, lucky other people.
Lucky group sex people.
Other people.
Because you mean you suck a mean one.
You didn't narrow it down to your boyfriend.
There have been
she's regretting that yeah. immediately.
Lucky strangers with extra money.
Lucky other people.
Lucky people waiting at SEPTA stations.
Only the SEPTA platforms, you know, the underneath
trees. Wow. Lucky people in bread lines.
So I got a really great Eagles mask and a Flyers mask, but they don't fit. They're way too big for my face.
Oh, mm. Can't you take them in?
Give them a case.
Bring them to her.
I may have to trade. Ooh, can we do mask trades?
Yeah. Ew, no.
No, not you. Are you kidding
me? Not you.
Yeah. It's like going halvesies on a fleshlight.
Don't knock it.
This Nick's friend proposed.
He's got kids.
Are there? There are no sex toys that are. Are
terrible?
There?
No.
No sport in the world would allow trademarks.
No.
there's no. But I wonder if there are bootleg.
Oh, with name brands?
Yes.
Or, I mean, like team names on
sure.
them?
Sure. I would assume, right?
Well, there's got to be.
Let's see.
There's got to be dildos
right.
that have.
Go team.
No, that have logos on them.
Yeah.
I'll put it in my search history. Hold on.
Please do, Kathy. We want the record to reflect that Kathy was searching for
she
sex
had it up. She had it up first.
Nick is looking up sport dildo.
DildoSuperstore.com.
There we go. That's where I go.
Professional dildo flipper? Oh, maybe that's not
is that a job?
It might be. No, I don't know.
That's a dolphin.
Is that people who buy old dildos and then fix them up and then flip them and sell them?
Oh, my okay. God. Stop.
That's a great show on HGTV.
I mean, I'm not really finding anything. Nick, are you?
Flipper flap.
Oh, my God.
Put in team logo right. sex toy.
Flipper flap.
All right, team logo sex toy, and see what comes up.
All right, yeah, they got to be right.
Yeah, somebody,
I assume.
Yeah,
if or, they have team logoed barbecue spatulas, they've got to have dildos.
I mean, I guess you can, you know, you can make
customize.
Your own. Yeah,
all so, right.
Like I'm getting 90. Like adult one piece footy pajamas.
No.
Create a fun yet fun, sexy yet sophisticated logo for my adult sex toy business.
Which was
that
want?
Last company called Ejaculator?
Was it?
I think it was
Jacques.
Ejaculator. Huh. I'm going to Jaculate.
Oh my God.
Speaking of sports and sex dolls, apparently there were sex dolls in a South Korean soccer stadium earlier during the pandemic. So.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had said basically we're all sex dolls without clothes on.
Mm. Yeah, they issued like a big apology after that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you think that the cutouts like with the so the stadiums are now at least the Citizens Bank
baseball.
is full. Seems like every freaking seat has.
Hey, you guys are in there, aren't you?
Are we still there?
Yeah.
We're still there.
Yeah, I don't think they take them down once they're up.
They don't?
No, the Phils put up all of the Flyers are in attendance now too. I think they're in left field.
I want to say we're down third baseline.
I think so, yeah.
I think
Mike and Alex
cardboard
are there.
Cutouts. Our cardboard cutouts have better seats than we as humans have ever had.
Yeah. Are they going to do it for Eagles games, Case?
I don't know.
Okay.
What is it, $100 per? You can get your cutout at the link for $100? Is that the going rate?
Yeah, to season ticket holders, they sent an email saying that the season is not allowing fans. And then within 24 hours, they said, buy your cardboard cutouts for $100.
$100.
But for the Eagles and Union, it was $40.
Okay.
But it all goes to charity, so... It's a good
okay. Thing. All right, if it's there you go. For fundraising.
Well, that makes sense.
All right.
That
makes sense. All right,
it's for a dildo charity company.
Speaking of the masks, there's a new report from the New York Times that says that the widespread use of masks in the United States has made facial recognition increasingly difficult for many people, and it is also a great way to avoid acquaintances in public. So it's easier than ever to ignore someone if you see them and you don't want to. Interact with them.
You can use it as an excuse.
It's easier to ignore now that we have face cover.
There are a couple things with that, and I think yes, that does make it easier. You mm-hmm. can. It's an easy out. It's an easy excuse. And then on the other side, for the facial recognition, you know, for example, at the Bert Kreischer show, Preston, when we were in our mask backstage, I'm kept looking at my phone. I'm like, what's wrong with this goddamn thing? And then I realize it's not able to recognize my face.
Yeah, I didn't. Jeff Gordon, I passed by and said hi to him. I didn't even know it was him.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody who also, in order to ignore people in public, will walk around and not even be listening to headphones, but they'll have earbuds in, right? With the
volume
that's,
down.
Yeah. What's that?
The well,
yeah, with actually no music or anything playing,
right.
but the wires are showing. So, you know, other people see that. And
I didn't see you. I was listening to music.
Well, I didn't hear you either. Oh.
No, I can totally see that, using that as an excuse. So, some saying that it's leading to face blindness. But a mask doesn't make it completely anonymous. Previous research has shown that we rely most heavily on the eyes when identifying someone.
I'm pretty good at recognizing people. It's just, it was the same thing with me, Preston. I didn't recognize Jeff Gordon until he spoke up. But for the most part, I can recognize people. But yeah, it's confounding stuff. It certainly is.
I've had, like, I guess you're not supposed to do this, but like, I've pulled the mask down to be like, oh. No, like, hey, it's me. And then they're like, oh, hey, sorry, I didn't realize it was you.
Hey, it's me, Johnny.
I've surprisingly had more of the listeners of the show pick me out, even if I was wearing sunglasses and a mask. And I'm like, how do you know? And I was wearing the big neck, gear thing, and people still would pick it out. And I'm like, how do you know this is me? But it happens.
Have you seen the signs now, though, that says don't pull your mask down to talk to us?
Pull it up.
Like I just said, like I'd pull it down. So, you know, to if somebody said, excuse me, or didn't hear what I was saying, forget where I was ordering something. Like I was up at a window and it said, please don't pull your mask down to talk to us.
Okay.
See the little thing that they're selling now? It's sort of a little sort of plastic cage, basically, that keeps the mask away, puffed out from your mouth.
Not the penis cage.
Not the penis cage. No, that's a whole different thing when you're a cuck.
Right.
But so it allows a little space between the mask and your face for breathing.
Oh.
Okay. Huh. I saw a shield the other day I hadn't seen before that came from the bottom up, from like the chin up.
I like
as
that.
As opposed to the top down.
There's one on Instagram.
Which is kind of interesting.
That's, of course, Instagram. That's glasses with the mask that tucks down under your chin.
I saw that one.
And you know what? And listen.
Okay.
Everyone's all over the place on the mask thing. You know, I'm a big fan of just for keeping businesses open and making sure that people, whatever the deal is, whatever the percentage, I got it. I'm cool with it. I do miss seeing people's. I smile at people when I go into a place or whatever and I'm walking past. And it's a thing that I like doing that.
You can see with your eyes, though. I mean, when you smile.
I do see with my
eyes. That's usually how you see.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I smell with my nose.
Yeah. I kick with my feet.
Your face.
All right. What I'm saying is when somebody smiles, you can see it in their eyes that they're smiling.
Not always. But I will smile at people, random people at Target or wherever I am, especially if it's like a mom holding a baby. I always smile at the babies. I wonder if they can, you know, if they can see it.
I smile all the time. I say hello.
Yeah.
We're giving this a test now.
All right, hold on.
And then.
All right, ready?
What are we doing?
Right, we're going to see if she's going
to... Can we tell with your eyes?
I want to see if you guys can tell when I'm smiling. Okay. This is like a game Jason and I play. Okay. Am I smiling?
3, 2, 1.
Well, now you are. Yeah.
All right, ready? This would be my smile at a mom in Target.
Yeah, I could tell.
You can?
Yeah.
All right.
And then if I saw Preston.
That's come hither.
Yeah, that's a total smile, Steve. Yeah.
All right, hold on. So you can't... Ready?
All right.
Yeah, you're smiling for sure.
Tell? Yeah, your eyes kind of...
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Some people have soulless, lifeless shark's eyes.
Right. Mm-hmm. But press this...
Like a doll's eyes.
Yeah.
I think this mask thing can also work in people's favor that aren't maybe not that good at recognizing or remembering people's names. Like, I'm one of those people.
Hey, Masky!
Yeah. Be like, oh, I didn't realize that was you. Say your name. Say your name. Just
Who
so
are
I,
you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a guy the other day who said that you never say your name.
Yeah. Say your name and how I know you, so I know that it's you.
You know, I was with Ed the other day, and Ed said, you never say who you are and where I would know you from. And I said, no, you do it all the time. Prove him wrong right now.
So anyhow, yes, it's easier to ignore someone if you do feel the need that it's, you know, if you're at the store, maybe you don't have time to stop and talk to somebody, you can just kind of whisk by, and it's a little bit easier this time around.
When this is passed, I bet you there will be people who will stick with the masks.
Oh, sure.
At some level or another.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially people who don't like to brush their teeth.
By the way, speaking of quarantine, there was a poll with 2,000 U.S. adults who are aged 21 and older by one poll. And some interesting results from this. And 66%, you know, a majority, say that they believe that quarantine has made them a better person for one reason or another, and I don't know why. There's no explanation as to.
I can take a guess.
Okay.
In general, it makes you appreciate things more.
Okay.
I think a lot of people have found things in life that they were perhaps taking for granted that appreciate, more, you know.
Well, speaking of that, 55% say that they are embarrassed by some of the things that they valued or favored pre-quarantine. So maybe looking back and going, wow, I used to really care about that, and now I have a bit more priority about things.
Yes.
Or have a perspective on priority about things. 70% said that the time spent inside has given them a chance to learn more about themselves. Okay, I could see that. Some said the quarantine has given them time and flexibility to delve into new hobbies and discover new passions, and 35% said they want to continue those hobbies once quarantine is over.
I found out that I enjoy coming to work and going home and doing exactly what I was doing prior to the quarantine because it never changed, really.
Yeah.
I haven't picked up a new hobby.
I thought, oh, and I was actually browbeating myself because I'm like, everybody's learning everything and doing stuff and they're doing all these incredible things. And I'm not doing a damn thing.
Yeah, Press, how can you say that? I mean, you've been making these drum videos and editing and...
Yeah, but that was before. I started doing that before. I think I started doing that before.
No.
Oh.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, I was.
You were doing softcore stuff before
that. But I started buying equipment and getting a little bit more serious about it. So, yeah, I guess video editing has started to become.
And you started doing the scrimshaw, the whale's tooth carving.
It's hard, man, but it has taught me that my eyesight is not as good as it used to be.
But you see with your eyes.
Yeah, I do. Sometimes.
I saw a tweet yesterday that the guy was like, this pandemic has been going on for so long that I got into shape and then I got out of shape.
I
could see that.
I love the meme that's been going around for quite a while, which is pre-Endgame Thor and then Endgame Thor as a description of what the pandemic has done to a lot of people.
64% say they've used their time during quarantine to learn more about wine.
That's a huge I've learned percentage. A lot about wine. It tastes good.
I like it.
I like the way that tastes.
Just wanted to see how much I could drink.
66% say that quarantine helped them mature their palate.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, as well.
Shut up.
What? Not you that person.
Do you know what I found out? I was able to mature my palate and learn more about wine. Mm-hmm. So it worked out for me. And then, of course, I started writing my novel. And I do commentary for The New Yorker.
And also, as a result, 45% say they have a new favorite variety of wine.
Okay. I actually have a variety of wines that I enjoy. Mm-hmm.
So they have a new favorite. 27% say the opportunity to explore personal interests beyond work makes them hope to achieve a better work and life balance upon coming out of quarantine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
46% say hope to spend more quality time with friends and family. 38%.
I've been able to discover new ways to panic about my source of income.
plan to create more meaningful relationships and with those around them.
That I've heard that a lot. Spending time with the family makes you really appreciate how little you like your family.
26% say that they've stayed in touch with loved ones through sharing a bottle of wine while connecting virtually.
There's a theme here.
There is.
I find that I'm gassed a lot more. I'm better with my family as a result.
Why is there so much wine in this?
It's wine vineyards. Yeah. Presented a survey presented by Coppola Wines. Yeah.
One poll did this on behalf of Coravin.
That's a liquor, is it not?
I have no idea. Okay. Coravin, Coravin.
And then wine.
70% say that they believe wine can help people connect and bring them together, both virtually and in person.
Yeah. It's a wine study, Preston.
Wait, but Coravin is a brand of wine?
It's a company that makes wine products. Like, so they have a, here's a distiller.
So just by happens, wow, there's a lot of wine. People have certainly found that wine is a prominent aspect of their getting through the pandemic.
Here's a decanter that you can buy at Williams Sonoma for
$800. I have a survey from Gumpy's Butt Plug. See what they say.
Steve, $749 for a wine decanter.
Okay,
God.
What does it do?
It
aerates it for you, guys.
Well, it aerates, and it's also got a temperature control on it. Too.
Come on.
Shut up. Wow. By the way, Casey just handed me some breaking news here.
Oh, here you go, guys.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
I don't know if I like this.
It's nothing. Well, it's not bad.
Is it about wine?
Nobody died or anything, but Carol Baskin is going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Get the hell out of here.
Thank you, Craig Ligons, for letting
amazing.
Me know.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Wow. Is it? Aren't there?
There are charges against her. And she...
Are there charges?
Well, there are allegations that they're examining. They found out that the documentation, I guess the will that she's been using, has been forged. They're investigating that.
Against her late husband,
right? And they've reopened. At least my understanding. I don't know what the status is.
Yeah, I don't think she's been charged. Investigation. I don't think they let her leave town if she were being charged. But maybe they're investigating.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm. All right.
Man, I kind of want Joe to get out of jail so that he can be on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, that'd be so cool.
He needs to be on Dancing with the Stars.
I'm going to get on too.
But he's got a limp, right? Remember, he kind of walks.
He can still do it. Yeah.
You think so?
I mean, so who was the, who had it?
Had one leg.
Heather
Mills?
Yeah, they're blown off in the landmine.
Yeah, she had the landmine blow her leg off.
Which was happenstance because she did a charity that worked against removal of landmines.
I thought she had
that her own legs were blown off by landmines.
I mean, listen, you can dance with one leg. You can climb a mountain if you're gay, you know?
Absolutely.
All kinds of things. Yes. Yeah. Have they announced the rest of the cast? Yeah. They have.
It's here for you.
Scott Peterson.
Okay. Anybody good?
Scott Peterson. Scott Peterson. Casey Anthony. Jesus.
All right. let's see. Carol Baskin, rapper Nelly.
Nelly?
One Day at a Time star Justina Machado or Mikado.
That's the new One Day at a Time.
Hang on. I think, I got to see who she is. I wonder if she was in a, I was going to say Better Off Dead. 6 Feet
Under. Was she in Better Off Dead?
No.
I'm sorry. I hear celebrity names. I get interested. this is, by the way, Regis Philbin from Evan. How are you? How's everyone?
Wonderful, wonderful. Reach welcome.
Great to hear.
Backstreet Boys member AJ McClain.
Oh, he's good.
Netflix's Cheer head coach Monica Aldama.
Who?
Yeah, is that from Netflix Cheer? Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, when he said Netflix Cheer.
You did say that. I couldn't hear it with my ears
heaven, I can hear
it. I heard that with my nose for some reason.
Bachelorette star Caitlin Bristow.
From The Bachelorette.
Uh-huh.
She's from The Bachelorette.
Olympic figure skater Johnny Weir.
Okay. Oh, interesting. That's cool.
That should be good. Super Bowl champion Vernon Davis. Disney Channel star Skye Jackson.
Skye Jackson.
You'd have to look up what
sounds
show.
Like a superhero.
Skye, S-K-A-I is how you spell Skye's name. Catfish host Nev Schulman.
Oh, that guy's annoying.
You know who Skye Jackson is.
Who?
She was in Jesse. Hey, Jesse.
Okay. Oh,
remember
my God.
Her.
She's grown up.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
I remember her as a little girl. NBA player Charles Oakley.
Wow. That's bold.
Oh, my God. Here's probably one of the biggest names.
Carol Baskin has got to be the most controversial.
Anne Heche is going to be.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. And
she was a lesbian modelo.
Yes.
She was.
I remember that. They had a passionate, a torrid affair, Preston. I remember that. They took a picture with, at the time, President Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm.
I think you videotaped some
I
of
did.
Sessions.
I did.
Well.
It was wild.
Yeah.
They had a double-headed thing. It was crazy. It had the Flyers logo on it.
then you have the real host, Jeannie Mai. And Selling Sunset real estate agent Chrishell Stouse. I know that name.
Listen.
On Netflix.
Is stars at this point a relative term?
Well, that's what I was just going to say. It's all reality stars on another reality show.
Yeah. All you need is one. And they have Anne Heche. And they have an NBA player.
What about Nelly Furtado?
Figure skater. No Nelly Furtado.
God, she's good.
But you have a former boy band member, so, you know, yeah, there's some stuff there.
But people are going to watch because of Carol Baskin.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And that's what they need. They need a...
Yep.
They need kind of a novelty.
They have a new host. They have a new presentation of the show.
Yeah.
Right? So you have Tom is gone.
We'll see how they do. Yeah. I wonder. Yeah. I wonder if they're going to be able to port that audience over into the... Because the show is actually doing well.
It does all right. But, you know, the people that they get, it's either people on the way up, the way down, and then people just kind of hovering in that area.
Right. It's never you never get a major, major celebrity.
Yeah, so like Anne Heche, on the way down maybe? I don't know.
She's found her level. She works.
Looking at the professional dancers that are on board, you recognize a few of the names. Cheryl Burke, which I've had a thing for years.
Is she one of the original dancers on the show?
Yeah, I think she was on the very first season.
I don't think she was.
And then I don't think she was on the very first season. I thought she was.
She left. I think also a lot of them leave and come back.
She left for
hip surgery. I do know that.
Peeta Murgatroyd. I love that last name.
And it's to Murgatroyd.
Exactly. And then the other ones, I don't know.
Pasha is the one that Kate Flannery danced with, Pasha Pashkov.
Okay. Yes.
And then Artem is the one that went through all of the female dancers and was engaged to your friend, Kath.
Karina,
yeah, Artem.
And then Morty Fleckbaum.
Morty, he's the older and...
Morty.
Yeah.
I mean cha-cha. Yeah. This is... Pair them with people who are not professional dancers. I'd like to see that.
Yes, and see how far they get.
With a disaster.
Exactly. Wow, interesting. So Carol Baskin.
That's a score.
Yeah, that is.
That is a score.
I mean, Joe Exotic has got to be going like through.
Gandhi!
Oh, my God. You're right.
He hated her so much.
Uh-huh.
And she is just one. It's like me versus Kathy and Delco versus Buxco, right? Like, I just couldn't touch her. And this is the same thing.
Like, he can't even.
He just can't even. And now?
He's probably sitting in his... He's playing his harmonica and his sound.
Well, by the way, he did it. He released an underwear line.
Yeah, good for him.
But the question is how... You know, he's in jail. How is he doing this while he's in jail?
Probably through his, like, boy toys. Maybe they're running it for him.
Yeah, it says here, the streetwear brand Oh Dangerous to create an underwear line called Revenge.
Wow.
They aren't just any underwear, though. It features Joe's face right across the crotch, right across the fly area.
I mean,
I'm sitting right on your nutsack.
Yeah.
Those are joke underwears. Like, you don't actually...
You don't wear that to a formal event.
Well, it's not going to be your everyday underwear. You'll get, like, one pair as a joke gift for
right,
a buddy.
Sure.
Right, exactly.
Maybe they're comfortable.
They might be.
Yes, we don't know.
How much is it for one pair?
I don't see a retail... here you go. It says, though, items reportedly flew off the shelf. Wait, the Oklahoma Zookeeper inked a six-month partnership with Oh Dangerous in April. His first merch drop was a rousing success when his first line debuted in early May. Items reportedly flew off the shelf, and within hours, the site had amassed more than $20,000 in online sales and more than 7,000 items. But I don't know how much they are, Case.
I can't bring myself to throw my Phillies underwear away, the most comfortable pair that I've ever owned, and I know you guys like them as well.
Yeah, I still have mine.
At Majestic store. There's no point in me keeping them. They're just like eight holes in there that it's so pointless. And yet I love them and they just sit there in the drawer now. So I don't
keep it. Use them as like a handkerchief,
I guess.
Do you still wear underwear that has holes in them? Because as long as they're not falling apart completely.
Yeah, and I got a whole bunch of crap from my girlfriend for doing it. But I'm like,
it's your underwear, man.
It's my underwear.
It feels comfortable.
It's my balls.
It's different. It's different for guys.
Yeah.
Holy underwear.
Yeah, agreed.
Especially because it's, you know, with women, it's all up against the junk. And so.
Yeah, you know, we usually refer to it as our junk.
Yeah, a nice pair of comfortable panties because it's going to be slapping against my junk.
But I am telling you guys, I love the Phillies underwear. Don't get me wrong, but Fruit of the Loom breathable boxer briefs are the best underwear I've ever bought in my life.
I'm writing this down.
Yes.
All right.
Tommy John's.
Tommy John's are my favorite.
Yeah.
They by far are the best ones I've ever owned.
And I thought they were, well, let's have an underwear off.
We'll do that.
You, by the way, in other words, you wear it for a week and then you give it to Casey.
Yeah.
To wear it.
Yep.
How about everyone buys their own pair?
Yeah,
and then you can compare.
I think that's a preference.
Why am I in on this? Preston, Cheryl Burke joined Dancing with the Stars in season 2.
Season 2. Okay, so she's almost one of the originals.
They sell breathable panties, Kathy.
You know, because it slaps against the junk.
Yeah,
I need my junk to breathe.
Yeah,
I'm interested in buying panties for my beaver. Something good. lets you breathe. I don't want to be all sweaty.
I've recently had like a bunch of my pairs, or I must have bought them all at the same time because they all are reached the throw them in the trash level.
Wow, you want them to trash level?
Yeah. The holes have gotten too
big. At a certain point, they become my handkerchiefs.
Yeah, what I end up doing is what I like to do is I put them on a piece of wood, and then I put it out to the in a lake, and then I shoot a flaming arrow at it.
I can see like a Viking funeral for your underwear.
I'm not kidding. I took them to Maine, and I was like, I'm going to send them out into the ocean. Yeah. And then I brought them home for no reason whatsoever.
Viking funerals are awesome.
Yeah. But I legit considered a Viking funeral for a stupid bear underwear. It's moronic. It's just as dumb as the stupid Flyers thing. But it worked.
It worked, right?
Yeah. Yes.
It worked. All right. Anyhow, we need to take a break because we have some guests that are on the way. We're going to talk to Ray Parker Jr. around 9:30, and it's really interesting, his career. He's had a hand in a lot more music than you would think. It's not just the Ghostbusters song.
No, it's a tremendous amount more.
He's been a very, very successful sideman over the years. And we're also going to talk to John David Washington, who's the star of Tenet, which is in theaters tomorrow, by the way. And I have a Fandango carrier code to see the movie.
Nice.
Tenet. That is correct. So we're going to take callers 10 and 11 at 215-263-WMMR. And like I said, it is in theaters on Friday. And let's get you on board with that. And we will talk to John around about an hour from now or so. So we'll take a break and come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Why have you asked?
Godsmack. The Killers. What's it gonna be? Green Day. We just keep on
dreaming. New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Exciting stuff. Tomorrow, MMR's A to Z Homeschooled Edition starts, and that'll be at noon tomorrow. So it begins. Pierre will have the honor of kicking that off, and it's our annual alphabetical countdown.
Is it your favorite?
Of Everything That Rocks. It's my favorite musical.
It's mine too.
Programming special that we do here on MMR. I love it.
So do I. And every year, it's always a blast to go through it. And it's just, it's the simplest concept, and yet with the vast library of music that MMR has, the fact that we can go through and not play any repeats for that long is just amazing. And again, as you said, Preston, you almost like you're compelled to keep a pad and a pen near you. So, I gotta remember that song.
We all work here. So, we tune in and out of the radio station throughout the day. I think we all like listening to the other people who work here and hear what they have to say or whatever. But you can kind of tune away from the music from time to time. I find myself compelled to tune into the A to Z as much as humanly possible, especially when I'm in the car. And you put it on and you leave it on.
We should try this. But when I was a kid in high school and played in the school band, and this is before I was a senior, at graduation ceremony, we would have to play Pomp and Circumstance during the, when they were handing out the diplomas. And so my teacher would have us bet, we would all place our guesses how many times through we would play the song, and he would keep track of it. He would make a little hash mark every time we went through the whole song. And then you have how many times we played through its entirety. And then what measure and what note what count on that measure we would end on. And
was it a cash bet?
It was, I forgot what we won. I won.
No kidding.
By accident.
Right. It's like how many jelly beans are in this
exactly. jar. Yeah. And I don't remember what I won. It was like maybe like a 7-Eleven gift card or something
Damn.
But it was cool. We should try to find out the exact time, the end of the last song. Of the A to Z is,
like
and then one of us gets a
7-Eleven gift card,
a handy from Casey.
Oh, hey! Wow! Hey! What? Oh, well,
man,
then
you just upped the game.
I better start moisturizing.
You better.
I was going to say Kathy, but
what does Casey win? Yeah, that's another HR thing. And we also accused Marissa of giving oral to people at the septic station.
She offered up how great she
is. That's it, she's proud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But A to Z starts tomorrow at noon.
We should request that it starts with us sometime. You know, we only play a few songs in the morning, but I would love for, you know, we
at the
do
end
this,
of the show?
No, the beginning of the show. Okay. Like the A to Z starts.
Like cut a ribbon? Yeah, we
could do that. Yeah.
Get a big pair of scissors.
I think they do like to change it up when it starts from time to time, so that if you do have a regular listening pattern, that you aren't hearing the same groups of songs every time.
I like
just in case.
How about this? We start the A to Z during our show, and on that very same show, end the A to Z.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
We could play like 1,000 songs at a time together at the same time.
Our version.
Yeah. Yeah. It's presented by the Bush Auto Group, by the way. Fast, easy car buying online, bushautogroup.com. So that starts tomorrow at noon. Very cool stuff. I noticed some things that I think were worth pointing out to you today.
The Noticer, he notices things so you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a surprise appearance from the Noticer.
I've noticed...
Hi, Noticer.
Hi, how you doing, Mr. Announcer? You've never said hi to me before.
I know, I broke the fourth wall because I'm just so impressed that you showed up out of nowhere.
All right, so I noticed, as you have, that a lot of people are working from home. That's a no-brainer, right?
God, you're good.
Elite Daily writer Rachel Chapman has suggested a few things.
Does she work for a wine company, too?
That could... It tells you how to spice up working from home so it feels like a real treat.
These are always incredibly insightful.
And about 5 months too late, by the way.
Yeah, well.
Well, she figures it's easy now because everyone's already done it.
Just get wine.
Yeah, right. Just get hammered from that wine company we were promoting unknowingly earlier.
So here's how to spice up working from home so it feels like a real treat.
I come up with ideas.
Okay.
This is the kind of things we get in the mail when people are trying to sell us guests for the morning show.
You're absolutely right. She suggests getting yourself a coffee maker that can make different brews.
Oh my God, that's brilliant. So that you don't always have the same brew.
Dude. Adding new fresh flowers to your workspace once a week.
Okay. All right. Now you're hitting a note. I just bought a coffee maker because my other one exploded last week, and I never realized how expensive those things can be. I mean, honestly, and
it was kind of devastating, wasn't it?
Well, a little bit. I was like, when I was going down the aisle.
My God.
I was like, I'm not ready to spend $200 on a coffee maker.
Yeah, like, when was the last time you bought a coffee maker? You go walk into the store, you're like, wait a minute, when did they become $200?
You can get cheaper coffee makers.
No, and I did. But like, my last coffee maker was a gift. I don't know how much that thing cost, but as I'm walking down the aisle, I'm like, well,
by the way, this
$200.
Is the plot for Tenet.
I was walking backwards down the aisle.
Yes, coffee maker.
And listen, I don't need all those little bells and whistles.
You don't need the accolades.
I don't need the accolades. I don't need to be able to make espresso.
Grind my own, anything along those lines.
To the list, I mean, that's actually not a bad idea. Like, if you're having to have coffee at home every single day, getting something where you can do different coffees is going to make working at home a treat.
Stop and think about it, Kathy. For somebody who's sitting at home going, how can I make my own coffee at home? Mm. If there was a device that allowed me to make my own coffee, this is brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Keep them coming.
No, By the way, I had asked Preston. He has, like, an awesome machine, and he warned me, hey, listen, it was a little expensive, and I was like, well, send it to me, because I really wanted, like, something I could do espresso and stuff like that. He sent it to me. I was like, well, I'll have to get a second job to get this one,
right.
So
really
I'm going to look at other brands.
Yes. Nick, to answer your question, the coffee maker cost $99, but when I got to the register, Target was like, no.
To be honest,
$79.
I'm a little afraid we're not going to get to the other things on the list before Ray Parker, if we're just ruminating on coffee all the time.
Okay.
All right, so here's another one. Treating yourself to takeout once a week for lunch.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
This way, you don't have to make the food yourself.
That's right. And it's a treat.
Wait a second. Let me write this down.
No, better yet, tattoo it on your forearm so you don't forget it.
She says you can also plan virtual lunch dates with your friends.
No, that's stupid.
Or have virtual friends that don't exist.
That's
In fact, put googly eyes on your coffee maker.
I looked this girl up on this lady up on Twitter. Her Twitter handle is Lady Tom Hanks. She's a huge Tom Hanks fan, and she's a writer for Elite Daily. And her podcast is You've Got Hanks.
Ah, yeah. And her avatar is a picture of her with a gun in her mouth.
It's she's only got 1,300 followers.
It's her and a cat.
What the hell are we talking about this bitch for?
I have a cat. Wow. The other day, I went out to a sandwich shop and I got takeout.
You guys are feeling salty.
And I had my own coffee maker at home, and I bought some flowers. And I created a little workspace that made everything
What's
so different.
What's up with this bitch?
I'm a big Tom Hanks fan, by the way.
I was kidding. I didn't really mean she was a bitch. I was joking.
When did she release this list? Because she is late to the game if this just came out.
That's a good question.
She seems like a wonderful woman.
Kathy, you can also buy yourself some comfortable work clothing.
I mean,
yeah. Why are you wearing that leather outfit?
Make sure your desk is comfortable.
Why, are you going to sleep on it?
I don't know.
Get succulents.
Yes. Keep your favorite snacks on hand.
Oh my God! This is so. This is so obvious.
I know. I think the desk
that it's insulting.
The desk is back stuff. You know, if you don't sit at the desk properly, or you don't have the right chair, you can mess up your back and end up going to the chiropractor.
So
that's
what
happened to Quasimodo.
I created a little office space for my wife. I bought her a desk. We're together.
That's awesome.
I know. And then I got a chair. God damn it! It's the wrong chair because it's one of those chairs
you attach to the ceiling.
No. That would be cool, though, Steve. No, it's one of those chairs where you kind of lean back, and then for a split second, you think you're falling over, and then the chair catches, and I fall for it every single time I sit in that chair. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm falling. No, I'm not.
Okay. He bought a chair that always made him think he was going to fall over. He thought it was the end of his life. He could never gain balance. But then the young chair psychologist came into his life. I have what you're looking for. My name's Kathy Romano. Sit up, you dumbass. The chairer.
The chairer.
It's not going to fall,
yeah,
stupid.
That's great, yeah. It's not going to fall. They're not designed to fall.
All right, I'll have you guys sit in this chair and do the same thing.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Actually, be the chairman. Would be
the chairman, yeah.
That's good. Or the chairwoman.
You don't want to get too gender specific.
All right, so you can decorate your desk and create a motivating playlist. Keep yourself happy while you're at home.
That's fantastic.
Ooh. Isn't it, though?
Kathy, what she did to her desk here in the office is great.
Yeah, I got back here, and I was like, something needs to happen.
Kathy's desk space is delightful. Nice. But, of course, remember, didn't you rock the desk design at the home show?
Mm-hmm.
Or did Andy from our sister station beat your ass?
Did she beat me in the desk or dining room?
She
can't
beat you beat her in the dominatrix room.
No, I beat her. I won the dining room. I think she did win the desk space.
She flat out, like, Kang Payne. Did she not? She was like...
They let her win votes. Because she was so into it. They just gave it to her.
But Kathy beat her in the Eliminator in American Gladiators.
Yes.
Yes.
So when they were firing the tennis balls at her.
Kathy dodged all of them. All right. I noticed something else.
Oh.
We're done with this?
We're done with that. Yeah. Did you have something to contribute? Because you can't...
Something else you could add to that stellar list?
I have a friend who just found out from her company that she's working from home until June of 2021. And so the company, well, here's the thing.
Well, give her that list.
Yeah, I'm going to send her the list. Lady Tom Hanks.
Yeah. But here's the thing you said.
I don't remember. Okay.
Did you say Lady Tom Hanks?
You get cut off so many times, and your train of thought just
forgets. Yeah,
Nick
blame Kathy for it.
Nick got fed up with me yesterday. He took his headphones off and slammed them down on the table.
Well, it's you start the same sentence where you get to ask the question, and then you answer the question.
So here's the next thing that we're going to go to.
You asked, and then you forget who the host of the show is, and you think you're the host. And then you make it up by sending me Goodwill Hunting videos.
Thank you. That's what I did.
Don't beat yourself up.
It's an offer of Goodwill.
Right. I thought I was Kathy yesterday.
You don't apologize. You send videos.
All right, so...
Oh, is that what we do?
Yes. Voting is apparently sexy.
It is.
Okay, Cupid.
I always do it with a boner.
is that how you press used to?
Yeah, that's how I press the levers. I'm gonna wreck.
Okay, Cupid finds that over 500,000 users say that they wouldn't date someone who doesn't vote. Meanwhile, those on the app who say that they're registered to vote are 63% more likely to get a match and are 85% more likely to receive a message.
Isn't that something you don't ask? It's like a girl's weight. Like, you don't ask if they voted. If they want to offer up that information,
right?
Fine,
and you don't ask who they
vote
for. I'll tell you who's sexy, though. The people who sign you in when you go to vote.
Oh, yeah.
What's your name, sweetheart?
Oh, Jesus.
I just had pizzas and pepperoni in my teeth. Did you say Stemp Morrigan?
Stemp.
Steve Morrison.
Stav Gorgon. Who is this?
Stemp Morrigan.
Is it Steve Huberman? What is this?
It's my name and it's Steve Moore.
Kampf Huberman? What?
Stemp.
Since it's important to so many users, OkCupid says it's launched a Voter 2020 badge that a user can add to their profile by saying they've registered to vote.
Yeah. I'm just glad that there's people outside of the polling area that hand me
flyers. They can't be.
You're like, man, you're changing. You just changed my mind by handing me this flyer.
It's illegal for them to be right outside the polling place.
Really?
Yes, it is.
They can't be right
they
there.
They cannot be right there.
I wonder if it's changed anybody's mind ever.
Immediately, people go, oh, my God.
Yeah. I didn't know.
These three sentences on this candidate has reversed my decision.
Wait a second. They're not allowed to be
outside a polling place.
Dude, it's blatant. They have, like, tables and tents set up and everything.
Are you not sure you're not going to Target?
They have merchandise and cashiers. They have those giant
red vests,
red balls right in front of the store. Yes.
No, it is illegal for you to be campaigning for a candidate directly outside of a polling place.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Delta.
So anyhow, if you say that you choose not to vote, essentially that's a negative. It's a turnoff to a lot of people. In that dating world, in that online dating world, at least with OkCupid. So that's all that they're saying.
Okay, all right.
So you may want to go, even if you're not, just say that you are voting because
then better. You get that good old poontang.
Good God.
Yeah, vote.
All right. I've also noticed that with the pandemic, we are approaching allergy season.
Good God.
Yeah. So
it could get worse.
So here's the deal. The CDC has created some guidance on how you tell the difference from coronavirus and seasonal allergies.
You guess.
You take a good guess. No. Dr. Fred Davis says both can lead to runny nose, cough, and congestion. The big difference is usually fever.
Yeah.
Those with symptoms from allergies tend to not have a fever, whereas those with a viral infection like COVID will tend to have a fever.
If I may.
Yes.
Because every couple of years, I think I will have an allergy phase or something. This year, I've had it. I've had the pressure behind in the middle of the head, between the eyes. It's clearly sinus, and it seems to be affected by the weather.
It's been really bad this season.
Okay, so I virtually never get, and I don't get it bad. My wife suffers, and as do you, Preston, from really pounding migraines.
Yeah.
And so I always feel like I have no room to talk. But it's one of those weird 5 years without it. Wow. So.
Yeah, I used to, and I'm pretty sure, because I'm not diagnosed, I'm self-diagnosed, I'm pretty sure my allergies are with mold spores. Because mine always come earlier, right? And the mold spore thing is always earlier than, let's say, pollen or what's the other one? I want to say ragweed.
Ragweed is
ragweed.
A big one, yeah.
Okay, yeah. But I always notice that my allergies, it's like I'll be stuffed up in one nostril, right?
Right, right.
I'll go to sleep and then I'll be stuffed up in the other one, and the one that was stuffed up the night before will be completely clear.
Is there extra sensitivity in your labia?
Yeah. Always.
Yeah. I find that
just
too.
The extra sensitivity.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah.
Moving from side to side.
It's wild. But I bought one of those.
Your labia? Hang on a second. What are you talking about? Kathy's talking about?
Uh-huh.
Her mind always goes there.
God, Kath.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
What?
The mucus in your labia.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't talking about the labia.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I bought a gun thermometer.
I'm going to call that checkmate.
Side to side.
I bought one of those gun thermometers.
Dude,
it's great. I love it.
I hear, though, that the CDC is saying that they're sort of sketchy.
They're not accurate?
Yeah. Rectal is the only one that really gets it done.
Well, listen, they're not going to be as accurate as the one you put in your mouth or in your butt.
Yeah. It's just a fact.
Honestly, I would imagine that a rectal thermometer is very, very accurate.
I mean, you're going, you're going right to the zone. Yes. Yeah,
exactly.
As you could imagine.
All right, and Ray Parker Jr. may have just hung up. I don't know.
I mean, honestly, why would he stay on? But we're trying to disseminate useful information.
He's on the line, and before we go to him, obviously, you know the song Ghostbusters. It was a number one hit. It was huge for him. But what you may not, if you haven't delved into the world of Ray Parker Jr., and there is a documentary that's going to talk about some of the stuff. He has written and done session work with some of the biggest stars in the music industry.
I was doing research on him last night, Preston, and I said to you this morning, I think I owe Ray Parker Jr. an apology.
Huh.
I was wholly unaware of how expansive his career is.
The Supremes, Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder, Bill Withers, The Temptations, The Spinners, Boz Scaggs, Gladys Knight and the Pips, Herbie Hancock, Tina Turner, Diana Ross.
That's just a few of them.
Yeah.
So let's welcome him. Please give some love to Mr. Ray Parker Jr. Yeah. This morning. Good morning, hey, Ray. Hey, how you doing, sir?
Really good. Good to be here.
Excellent. So, you know, as I was doing the introduction, I rattled off the names of some of the great superstars in the world of music, and you had to have gotten started really young in your career if you were working with all those people. How old were you when you started to dive right into the music industry?
Well, I started out with the Spinners. It was my first really big group, and I think I was 13 years old.
Wow!
So you were a musician very early, like at 10 years old. You started playing the guitar, I think it was, and you play multiple instruments. And
I played the clarinet and sax before.
Clarinet and sax, and I think you do some drumming as well, correct?
A little bit.
Yeah. So, and you were telling a story. I was watching an interview with you, and you were talking about seeing John Sebastian on the Ed Sullivan Show, and he came out and he plugged in his guitar, and from that moment you thought, okay, that's what I want to play.
Absolutely. That is it. And I got a chance to tell him about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And now he's on my new album, which goes with this film.
You
he's
know,
playing harmonica.
Ray, I'm a fan of a movie called The Wrecking Crew about the studio musicians of the 60s in L.A. Yeah. And your learning your history was an eye-opener of all the people you played with. And you were with the Motown band when you're – how old are you when you're playing with this legendary Motown band?
15 years old.
15.
Some of the Funk Brothers were on the stage too,
and so you were describing a story about how the musicians after during breaks would go and maybe you know smoke a little something, and your mom was very very specific about how you had to explain that story. Yeah. If you would.
Well, it was a friend of mine, bass player, who was really really famous in Detroit, the most famous bass player, James Jamerson. You know, I'd sit in a car with him on show break. And then he wanted to smoke these funny cigarettes, I call them. And when the windows are up on the car in the wintertime and it's cold outside, you know, it affects, the, you know, the passenger as well as the person smoking it. So my mother said, you stay out of the car with him if he's smoking those funny cigarettes, you know. So I had to tell him that, Mr. Jameson, please stop smoking those funny cigarettes.
And you're a young kid telling this seasoned, a musician. But when they were first looking at you, it had to be weird because you're this young kid with this incredible ability, and was there had to be a period where you had to win them over and prove you had the chops.
That was all the time. Seemed like every day, all day.
Every day.
When you're the youngest guy, everything is your fault. Even if a guy makes you think four chairs over from you, it's still your fault, you know.
And you had one of the greatest explanations. We have this conversation because we're all fans. Preston himself is actually a great drummer. But we have this conversation about the creation of music. And you can read music, and you were describing how you were playing these other instruments, and the music would stop at the end of the page. And you were thinking to yourself, "I don't know if I'm a good musician because of not being able to solo or riff." And it was the guitar that allowed you to do that. Correct?
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny that I thought I wasn't even supposed to be a musician on the clarinet and sax. I mean, I was really good. I had first chair in the All City Band. But like I said, the problem is when the paper ran out, my ideas ran out. I just had no inspirational ideas for anything until I got the guitar.
It's wild.
You know, Ray, the first thing I remember from you as a solo artist was The Other Woman, which is a great song. And I think you used the phrase, aw shucks, better than anybody I've ever heard, which could have been the name for your documentary had you not written Ghostbusters, and because it's called Who You Gonna Call. But when Ghostbusters came along, I remember kind of doing a double take. I'm like, oh, The Other Woman guy is doing this song. And it changed your world. It was a number one hit, and it stayed at number one, I think, for 3 weeks or so. Can you give us a little story on that song, how it came to you, writing it, what happened afterwards?
Well, first of all, they commissioned me to write it.
Mm-hmm.
They thought I was the right person to do it. And they had already listened to hundreds of songs from famous writers and everything. And the problem with that song is the words Ghostbusters had to be in the song. Now, it's not fair right now because you know what my song sounds like. But imagine trying to sing Ghostbusters. It really doesn't sing well as a Ghostbusters. I mean, there's no way to sing it, you know,
right,
to make it sound like anything. So the director kind of told me, you know, gave me some lead as to what he wanted with the music and everything. And I'm a musician, so I could play the music. But, you know, once he said, oh, yeah, I want to name the movie and the song, I went, no wonder now I'm making my money now. So that part was really hard. But there's a part of that film where the four guys are standing over the phone number. And in the movie, it says, call this number. It's, you know, the ghost is doing something. Or they allude to call the number. They show the poster.
Right.
And that's what I thought. I said, the perfect way to do this is I'll go, who you going to call? And I never say the words Ghostbusters in the song ever.
Yeah. You know, and correct me if I'm wrong, and this may just be legend that's not true, but did you trademark the phrase, who you going to call?
Yes, I did trademark it, but actually I don't have to because it would have been mine anyway.
Okay, so if that's used on a T-shirt or something, do you get?
Absolutely.
There nice. You go, yeah. Smart man.
All right, now.
All kind of stuff.
Now, listen, Ray, I'd mentioned at the beginning, all these famous names and you know, Aretha Franklin and Stevie Wonder and the Supremes and Herbie Hancock and all this stuff. And I'm sure that they understand the achievement of getting a number one hit and having it. But did any of them bust your balls a little bit about Ghostbusters? Because it was a very, you know, pop bubblegummy song.
They all tease me about that. Everybody says, well, we like your other stuff. I mean, that Ghostbusters is a little sellout song. And I quickly tell them, how about this? Ghostbusters is my favorite song. And reason being is it makes all the children happy.
Yeah, okay.
When they smile, I smile. It's just infectious.
Okay. Of all these legends that you've played with and you've been in the room with and performing and had all these experiences with, who would you classify as the purest, most complete entertainer that you played behind?
Very easy. Stevie Wonder.
Stevie Wonder. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Just a natural talent.
He's a musical genius of the 20th century, no doubt.
Just amazing stuff. And who would come in close second, if there is a close second?
There is no close second.
Okay. <Wow. Yeah. laughs> I'll accept that.
Were you intimidated from people of his talent that you'd worked with?
Well, when I was younger, I was intimidated, period, because I was always... felt like I was playing catch up or trying to get there. And so when the pressure's on when you're really young, trying to do something, because everybody's like, why is he here? Get him out the room, young kid. A lot of people didn't even know I was there to play on the record. They just thought I was in the building standing around doing something.
Well, part of the story in this documentary, Who You're Gonna Call, which is available on demand, has to do with your growing up in Detroit, tough city. I think your dad worked at the Ford Motor Plant, did he not?
Yeah, he worked at Ford Motor Company 48 years.
48 years. And when you want to become a musician, does that sit well?
That didn't sit well with him at all. He wanted me to work at Ford Motor Company and build cars, you know, but he wanted me to have a white-collar job instead of a blue-collar job.
Right.
And the blue-collar workers are actually in the factory, you know, doing the labor on the cold concrete floor, and he wanted me to sit in the office and work on the cars. And my thing was, I don't want to work on cars, Dad. I just want to drive them.
And when did it turn around for him? What happened along the way where he was like, okay, you're doing the right thing?
Well, he was discouraged even after I started with Stevie Wonder, and even after I left. But I think when I bought my dad a house and a new brand new Lincoln.
That did it.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going in the right direction.
Funny how these things work.
Well, you have a very strong history in the world of music, and I'm excited to see the documentary. So it is called Who You Gonna Call, which is great, and it's available on demand. Ray, it's great to talk to you. Continued success. Thanks for coming on this morning.
Well, thank you too much for all your support.
Absolutely. Ray Parker Jr. Yes! On the Preston and Steve Show.
You look at the names.
Look at the names that he worked with.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
Huge. And didn't know that. And it was mainly for his guitar chops.
Yeah.
That he was such an in-demand guy. All right, listen, we got to take a break because we have another guest who's coming up in just a moment. And we're going to have him on when we return. John David Washington is the star of Tenet. And that opens Friday. So we'll get him on when we come back. Stay with us.
Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with. So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
And so somewhere in between those two is probably what we'll end up with. So that's perfect.
It's great.
It's Annabelle.
Annabelle will love this weather. She'll get some sun and hang out by the pool. I run a resort for dolls.
Anytime.
Annabelle.
Your voice, you know, starts to come down here. It immediately slides into Annabelle.
Annabelle.
Yeah.
Did you see that Annabelle the doll? Somebody did an Instagram account.
No,
the doll. It's they got one of the Annabelle dolls, and they're posting it like you know around the house and doing things.
The actual Annabelle doll looks like a
it's a Raggedy Ann.
Raggedy Ann.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
yeah. It's a completely different doll. But I
it wouldn't be as scary, would it?
I wouldn't be as scared. No, and
Annabelle.
The thing that kills me is like in the second or in the sort of the pre-story. You know, this couple gets this doll that is in a box, I guess, in the nursery. It is a hideous doll. But very second they pull it out, and it's like, the baby will love this.
Yes.
It's the most terrifying looking doll you could imagine.
Yep.
It's just creepy as F. Oh, look at it.
Yeah.
It's like it's a Ziggy doll.
I should probably watch those movies or one of the first ones, see if it really terrifies me. I hate stuff like
that. Watch The Conjuring.
The Conjuring. Was that the first one?
The Conjuring is the first time you see Annabelle.
All right, fair enough.
And in fact, Annabelle is the first thing you see in The Conjuring.
Oh, okay.
It opens with Annabelle.
Wow. All right, I have bizarre file stories. Oh, by the way, John David Washington from the movie Tenet. They can't wake him up, so...
I mean, they believe he's just sleeping, that he's, you know...
I hope he's just sleeping.
Yeah, seriously.
So maybe we'll get him on tomorrow or something? I don't know. We'll find out. But maybe he's cuddled up against Annabelle. He's in slumberland.
Spooning with Annabelle.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to... No one thinks that's funny.
We do.
Let's do the bizarre...
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Find.
Annabelle.
Not funny. Brought to you by your local Dietz and Watson Real Philly Delis. They are open for takeout. Taste four generations of family recipes made with love and show your support for local businesses. RealPhillyDeli.com, Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939. Here's a follow-up story. A four-day misconduct hearing that included testimony about drinking and sex in the courthouse ended with a Kentucky commission voting the removal of Kenton County Judge Don Gentry from the bench on Monday.
So this is the judge that was tearing it up.
Yes, and the commission found the former family court judge guilty of 10 of 12 charges. Among them, the commission found that she allowed staff to store and consume alcohol in court offices, hire people because she was involved in relationships with them, and engage in inappropriate sexual behavior. Her attorney said the decision to remove her from the bench is anti-democratic and that he will appeal the decision.
Just because she's having orgies and giving booze at the in the courtroom?
Yeah.
I guess that makes her a, quote, bad judge.
Gentry, so the commission found that she had hired Stephen Penrose because she was in a personal relationship with him. Gentry terminated Meredith Smith before forcing her to resign to create a job for Penrose. He can't do that. She engaged in inappropriate behavior with Penrose, He sent her photos of his genitals, crude jokes, and at least one romantic message.
I submit to you she's a better judge because she can see the side of the criminal.
Gentry also engaged in simulated sexual activity with Penrose in a courthouse office during work hours. She engaged in misconduct related to a 2018 campaign. She coerced members of her panel to donate to her campaign and utilized court staff to work on her campaign during work hours. And in 2018, she retaliated against attorney Mike Hummel for failing to make the maximum monetary donation to her campaign. So she was doing tons of stuff.
Okay, your best guess, clothes on or clothes off under the robes?
Probably off.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, yeah. Although she has been accused of drinking in the courthouse, commission found that that was not proven, and it was a by clear and convincing evidence, so they didn't get her on those counts, but she's done. Oklahoma City police are looking for a man who stole from a convenience store. They say the man walked into the convenience store with a shirt that had a logo with a company on it and convinced the person working that he was there to take over the shift.
Oh, wow.
The man then began checking customers out for a couple of minutes before locking the doors and stealing all the money, cigars, and lottery tickets. All they know about the man is he left in a mid-90s blue Chevy Suburban, and they were looking for him.
You'll be surprised how that can work, you know?
Yeah. Conservation officers say that they will try to trap a black bear that was filmed on Saturday tapping a runner with its paw on a popular trail in Coquitlam, British Columbia.
Excuse me, where's Vancouver?
The encounter was filmed by Sam Abdullah, who climbs the popular, it's called the Crunch, up to four times a week. Abdullah said that he was nearing the top when a woman descended in front of him, froze, as a black bear emerged from the bushes.
It's pretty cute, actually.
Yeah, he began filming the encounter in his cell phone, and the video shows the bear getting closer to the woman and eventually extending a paw to her leg before jumping back. Abdullah said, I think she was in shock, and she just froze there. Now, Abdullah carries bear spray with him when he climbs the trail. Eventually, the woman was able to get past the bear, and she could be seen running past Abdullah and looking at the camera. Abdullah said he was not able to catch up with the woman to ask her if she was okay and share his video, and she kept running all the way down, he said. Now, there's also a video. Nick had sent this to me. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Was it in Yellowstone?
No, Glacier National Park.
Glacier National Park. And there's a hiker that sees a grizzly bear coming close to this group of people.
Yeah.
And he lets them know, and Nick, he tells them not to run, right?
Steve, have you seen it?
I have not.
All right, you know how many times we've talked about bears and whatever. This bear starts running after where the hikers are, and we've said many times, bears are fast.
Yes.
And this bear hauls ass. He must have been going like 30 miles an hour.
Well, they get up to a gallop, and in short spurts, they can get up to that speed.
And so these people that are filming it are on this ridge up above where the grizzly is, and they're yelling, don't run, don't run. But of course, a natural reaction for the people down by where the grizzly is to run away from the freaking bear.
Jesus. So we're looking at it right now.
And then, of course, it wants to give chase if you run. So,
how did it end?
They got away.
Right.
Nobody was hurt, and the people are laughing about it after the bear sort of walked towards where the people who were yelling were. The people who were hiking down below got away, but it's terrifying.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right, how about this? U.S. Border Patrol agent seized over $1 million worth of cocaine last week after it washed up on a Florida beach. 30 packages were discovered last Monday by a person on the beach in Hollywood, Florida, just south of Fort Lauderdale. The beachgoer contacted the police, who turned the packages with the filled cocaine over to Border Patrol agencies. 30 packages
we'll
of cocaine.
We'll take it from here.
Weighed approximately 78 pounds worth of cocaine.
God. Oh, wow.
Estimated street value of over $1 million. And the Border Patrol has recently responded to multiple reports of narcotic wash-ups on the Florida coast.
I wonder.
And what I'm curious about is this kind of a delivery system?
Right.
Or are they throwing these overboard
because
before they get busted?
Before interdiction gets them.
Yeah
I wonder.
That
they're tossing them overboard because they're about to get busted?
That's what I think,
Have you seen the elaborate levels, and this has been something that's been over the past couple of years, of these submarines they're building?
No. Oh,
yeah. They're built, yes. In fact, there was footage of the Coast Guard apprehending one.
Jumping on top of one. Yeah, I remember that. So over the course of July and August, Border Patrol Miami sector has seized over 210 pounds of cocaine that's just washed up on the shore.
Would you be at all maybe
tempted
to sell that?
The complexities of selling illegal drugs alone.
No, there's no freaking way.
I understand you're on the radio.
Yeah.
I don't even know. You have 200 pounds of cocaine you want to sell?
Yeah.
I don't even know who the first person I would call.
Who are you going to call?
Yeah.
Ray Parker Jr.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I would run. I'd be like,
you know, Jackie Bam Bam?
I'm not associated with this at all. All right, and that's what I have in the bizarre file. We have a secret text word, and we need a number caller. So, Kathy, who's it going to be? Who are you going to call?
Who are you going to call? 8.
All right, call number 8-215-263 WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer or if you know the word, and we'll grab a random texter while we're at it too. We're going to come back with a lesson question. Stay there.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're feeling good on a Wednesday morning as we're headed towards a holiday weekend. Feeling so good, I think we should give something away.
I am feeling good, and I hope you are, too.
And I mean that, babe. We are looking for caller number 8 for the secret text word. Caller number 8 is Chris. Let me go over here. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, Chris, we need the secret text word, please.
Is it king?
Yeah! King is correct. Absolutely. Hang on the line. We're going to get your information, and we are going to set you up, my man. Hang on the line, and in case I hit the button and nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing's going on.
What the hell is going on? He was going to play Good Enough from Cyndi Lauper. Lauper? Because the prize is Goonies.
Yes.
And so that song
what the hell is it?
From the soundtrack.
It's Frozen.
Let it go. No, it's the machine is Frozen.
This is the special redone edition. It's the 4K Goonies, right?
Yeah, it says own it on 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and digital now. So the pirates, the pirate map, the villainous crooks, the underground caverns, the booty traps, the skeletons, the monsters, the lost treasure, and the magic that is the Goonies. So we're going to set them up. And also, we grabbed a random texter, and that's Katie Taylor, who lives in Norristown. So Katie gets the same thing. Congratulations to you.
That's awesome.
Excellent, excellent movie. We're going to do the lesson question today. We're going to give away a digital download of The Flash, the complete sixth season. And the question I have for you is, Tenet was a better title for a movie than which other palindrome? 215-263-WMMR. Tenet is a better name, better title for a movie than what palindrome we were discussing earlier this morning. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We are going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Sequoia Outback. Whether you're looking to build a new deck or freshen up the patio with new furniture, Sequoia Outback has everything you need to create your backyard oasis. Route 309 in Hatfield or online at decksupplies.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, actress Sienna Miller, in an interview with the Daily Mail, trying to explain her penchant for dating macho Brits such as Daniel Craig and Jason Statham, Miller says she likes her men like she likes her coffee in her butt.
Oh, wow.
Oh, whoa.
My
yeah.
God.
Former Bachelor contestant Taylor Nolan opening up on a special best of episode saying she wants to explore, quote, poly type relationships. The not-too-bright Nolan was instantly praised by the LGBTQ community until she clarified that she wants to date a parrot.
Hey!
And finally, Caitlyn Jenner has started adding glam makeup video tutorials to her YouTube account. Caitlyn says her secret is to always keep the foundation light and apply the accents with a fire hose. And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's go over and see if we can get an answer to the question. Tenet was a better title for a movie then which other palindrome? 215-263-WMMR, and I will go to Kenny. Hey, Kenny, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Kenny, do you know what was a better title? What palindrome was a better title?
It is Taco Cat.
Taco Cat. You got it. Hang on a second. Actually, Tenet was a better
Yeah.
Palindrome. I said that incorrectly. Kenny got it right. And Kenny, you're going to get a digital download of The Flash, the complete sixth season after Fast and Furious year. Team Flash anticipated things to slow down, but in season six, the team contends with an all-new villain called Bloodwork, and you can own it now on digital, Blu-ray, and DVD.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Really?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I have just a few stories for you here, and we'll begin with Metallica. They have become the first act to have a number one on Billboard's mainstream rock songs airplay chart in four different decades.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Their latest single, All Within My Hands, with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra, achieved the milestone on the survey dated September 5th, giving the band number ones in the 90s, 2000s, 10s, and 20s.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Hands, yeah. Hands is...
Really?
Yeah. Hands is Metallica's second mainstream rock songs, number one, aided by the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra following No Leaf Clover in 2000.
Well, that wouldn't be helpful in No Leaf Clover.
What is that? It's just a little stem.
Yeah. Like, yeah, a little about. Piece of weed.
Marilyn Manson and outlaw country artist Shooter Jennings, son of the late Waylon Jennings, have been working together on Marilyn's upcoming 11th studio album. Despite what people may think, Manson had said the project, which is called We Are Chaos, is not a country album. He said a lot of people, I think, expect it to be country. The element of country, I think, that he brings to it exists greatly in the bass lines and in the chord progression and changes that are not country as much as they are. They remind me of Diamond Dogs, Bowie, and Alice Cooper.
Yeah, I dug that album.
He added, I believe in my heart, at least I feel, and he feels, very satisfied with the end result. And I hope that people get their own satisfaction in whatever particular way that they're looking for when they listen to it. That I was very enjoyable making it. And it was something that I look forward to going into the studio every time that I could with him. Well, the ill-fated Woodstock 99 Festival will be the subject of an upcoming Netflix docuseries.
Ooh. Was that the one you were at, Case?
That's the one I was at. Yeah. I wonder if I'm in it.
The festival, which served as the 30th anniversary commemoration of the original 1969 event, was held over 4 days, July 22nd, 25th, and 25th. I should say July 22nd through the 25th.
4 days in July.
1999 in Rome, New York, and eventually, due to factors including oppressive heat, lack of affordable food and water, descended into violence, robbery, accusations of sexual abuse, and massive destruction of property. Deadline reported sources saying the series will delve deep into the culture that created Woodstock 99 and tell the real story behind the 3 days of peace, love, and music.
Yeah, no.
And how it went down in flames, featuring unseen archive footage and intimate testimony from people behind the scenes.
Shut up, Theory. I didn't even hear that.
Would you like
Check
me
it
to-
out.
What is that?
It's giving me information on Woodstock 99. I don't know where it thought it heard its name.
Would you like me to turn your light on, as I did before?
So anyhow, behind the scenes, on the stages, and in the crowds, the series aims at telling the untold story of a landmark musical moment that shaped the cultural landscape for a generation. No air date has been announced as of yet, but that will be coming out.
Casey, you were...
I was there.
You
and
said it was nightmarish.
Well, everything, how he described it, that was my experience altogether. Yeah. I mean, it was a fairly lousy experience from start to finish.
Filthy and...
Well, I mean,
expensive.
They didn't clean the porta pots. Yeah. I mean, it was really, really bad. And there were just a couple of moments that stood out to me that were, okay, well, that wasn't bad.
Was that the one where they started throwing like clumps of moss and stuff like that at the mud at the stage? I think the Chili Peppers.
I don't even know how there would be mud. It was so dry and hot. But
maybe that was the first one.
Yeah, maybe.
Because there was one where like mud was being thrown across the crowd.
It was so oppressive that I mean they had a like an airplane hangar, and that's where it was like the IFC channel airplane hangar.
Right.
And I had to spend so much time in there because it was shade and it was like cooler than the rest of the grounds.
You know what you never see? You never see interviews with people who went to the original 1969 Woodstock and said, you know what, that sucked. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
I hated it. There had to be somebody,
there
right?
There were people.
There's always at every show.
In that group.
My parents went and they left. They'd had enough. It was rainy. It was not comfortable. Nobody knew when they were there that it was going to be as legendary as it turned out to be.
Huh. My dad left as well.
They were there for 2 days.
He banged Janis Joplin and then cut out.
They bought their tickets. They didn't break the fence like everybody else did. So they were in there and like, nah, we got our money's worth. And they went to school in upstate PA. So they were in.
And your dad joined the Manson Clan.
Exactly.
My dad left. He said, I climbed the fence and got the hell out of there. He's like, it was not enjoyable at all.
Wow.
I was stuck there. I took a bus up and, you know, I had to wait for the bus to take me back. And
how long were you there?
Oh gosh, I guess it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday,
and then did you sleep in a tent?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Came home Monday morning.
We're looking at video footage. This is in 1994, Steve, where the mud took place.
What a disaster.
It looks like Green Day, maybe. Yeah, that's Green Day. That's horrible. That's a waste. Absolute waste.
Oh my God, I would hate that.
So the 99, Woodstock is getting the treatment on Netflix. Out now is a new book called Bonzo, 30 Rock Drummers Remember the Legendary John Bonham by author Greg Prato, who wrote the excellent recent post-makeup Kiss Chronicle, Take It Off, Kiss Truly Unmasked. The new book, which commemorates the 40th anniversary of John Bonham's death, collects the recollections of the Led Zeppelin drummer from some of the most iconic stick men who came up in his wake, including Kenny Aronoff, Mike Portnoy, John Dalmayan, Brian Tichy, and Steve Gorman, among others. Bonham had died September 25th, 1980, of pulmonary edema, which is fluid accumulation in the lungs. He was 32.
32.
Yeah.
I forgot how young he was.
Yeah. There's rumblings that a new Bruce Springsteen project might be dropping soon. The usually reliable Asbury Park Press reported that Springsteen's producer, Ron Aniello's cryptic Instagram movie post on August 21st, showing a storm about to hit the ocean, stating it's coming.
Who are you going to call?
Maybe the sign that a release is imminent. So they're teasing that stuff, and it's very possible that there might be some coming out. And then finally, Mick Jagger revealed that he wasn't particularly thrilled with the bonus material offered up on Rolling Stone's Goat's Head Soup reissue coming this Friday. A lighthearted Jagger told London's Sunday Times, "They're all terrible.
Terrible. Yeah. I don't like them."
That's forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yes.
I do terrible.
It's terrible. That's always my initial reaction. They're all useless. I mean, actually, I always liked the songs, but they weren't finished. Sonically, they still sound like they were recorded then, even if they weren't perfect. And you can make them sound a little better than they did. These three songs are all up there with the rest of the songs on this record, he says. So there you go. That's what I have in music news for you.
All good.
We have a final break to take. We're going to come back. Letter of the day for the word of the week is coming up, so don't stray too far because we don't want you to miss out on a chance to win that. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to give away our Word of the Week prize.
Right? Yeah.
So that is tomorrow.
For immediate redemption.
And then, because it's a show that night, I'll get you the details in a moment. And then we move on to the MMR A to Z Homeschool Edition.
Awesome.
At noon. So tomorrow's a very special Thursday.
Yeah.
I love it. And I've loved our guest today. Thank you to, well, we only had one. We were supposed to have two, but Ray Parker Jr. Ghostbusters, him, is actually he's been a long time contributor to all kinds of great music, both instrumentally and writing music as well. So it was nice to have him on. He's got a documentary called Who You Gonna Call, and that is available on video on demand. And John David Washington, looks like we're going to have him on tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay, so that's cool.
I'll probably mention that again when I tease what's coming up tomorrow, but Pierre Robert is here. I'm sorry, I was reading your shirt at the same time that you popped in. It says, "Trust Never Sleeps."
It's a Graham Nash t-shirt takeoff on Rust Never Sleeps from Neil Young. So speaking of which, your discussion of Woodstocks were fascinating.
Oh.
I was at 94 and 99. Oh. Casey, I didn't see you.
You know what? I was looking for you.
I know.
Just a lot of people.
I wanted to broadcast from up there, so I was looking for a place, and I ended up renting a house for a month that I used for 4 days.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah. But a whole bunch of us went up and stayed in the house. You could have stayed in the house.
I wish I could.
If only
I
you knew.
If only I knew.
For both? For both years that you went?
No, just for the 99.
Did you see the 94 mud debacle?
I didn't. That was on the smaller stage when Green Day was still coming up. And but they actually had a lot of fun with it. Green Day seemed to have a lot of fun with it. I didn't see that one, but I was broadcasting for Channel 3 for KYW and MMR, and I was going out and talking to the mud people. The Woodstock 94 was done on a real farm in Saugerties, New York, and it was fun. It was not out of control. People were really nice. I remember one point this guy comes running after me and goes, dude, and I'm going, what? And he goes, you dropped your wallet back there.
What? yeah.
And this guy came running.
Which one was this?
That
I'm
was 94.
94, okay.
99 was done on a closed Air Force base.
Yeah.
In Rome, New York. And on one end was the big stage, and on the other end was the smaller stage in the hangar that Casey was referring to, where they had raves that were in the middle. And it was... There was nothing that suggested peace, love, and countryside.
I didn't even think like the people there weren't even that nice. I mean, I ran into a few nice people, but I also ran into some like really creepy people. Well,
there was clearly a whole bunch of aggressive stuff going on. I remember it was all over the news about the assaults and sexual things, assaults that were going on. It had a bad rap right in the middle of it, right while it was going on.
I hadn't heard that other than Dexter from The Offspring made a comment from the stage. He said, girls, if anybody grabs your areas, kick them in the balls.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I remember Flea made an announcement, too. He said, listen, a woman taking their shirt off is a wonderful thing, but that does not give you permission to go and touch them or grab them in any way, shape, or form.
I'm curious how this documentary will be because there were no fires. It was known for the fires until the very end, and the Red Hot Chili Peppers were going to close it, and there was going to be a tribute to Jimi Hendrix. So John Scherer, one of the promoters, came on stage, and someone had lit one fire, and he goes, up in the far right corner, there's a small fire. We're dealing with it. Don't light any fires. And what that translated to was, please light fires.
Light as many fires as you can.
And he stopped the Peppers in one of their performances, and they actually stopped. And then shortly thereafter, the Peppers went into the song Fire, which... poured fire on the fire.
Right.
And so it wasn't a massive disaster zone, but it there were moments of great unpleasantness, and that was one of them. Although on my way out, there was this peace sign in the middle of the runway, what had been the runway, and it was made out of pizza boxes. And there were all these naked Canadians in there doing what are those things when you
hopscotch.
No, when you form a human, there are people on the bottom and then the people get
pyramid. A pyramid.
A pyramid. Yeah, they were forming a human pyramid with these naked men and women from Canada.
When the riots were happening, I went and found safety in the campgrounds, but I could see everything from afar. There was a huge glow stick war that I thought was actually kind of cool to watch from afar. I'm really, really interested to see, this documentary series.
I mean, nothing about it really spoke of Woodstock. It just seemed like a big festival.
Oh, it was terrible. You could and you were there, so you know there was a descent, right? And it started happening, midday, like Saturday. You could see,
after Tracy Chapman set.
Well, no, you could see, they were charging way too much for water and food. They weren't cleaning the porta pots. Like people were starting to get like really, really pissed off, and you could see and feel. Everything sort of shift.
I can't. Yeah. I couldn't. I'm looking at footage of this. There's no goddamn way I could do this. No, I couldn't do the original Woodstock. I'd be saying, come on.
Well, yes.
Where's the soap?
The Woodstock 94 was really nice. It was very well done, and it rained, and it was muddy, and it was fun. And I went on TV and showed live mud from Woodstock.
That's when you co-anchor the news with Yuki Washington.
Yeah.
But did you hear when Kathy's dad and Nick's mom and dad didn't care for the 1969?
Yeah. Well, it's Woodstock. Not for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get what you get.
You get what you get. All right. You ready for the letter of day?
Yep.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
O, as in outside.
All right. And we have one more to go. We'll do it tomorrow. We're going to give away a ticket for you and three friends to see Smith & Myers, presented by WMMR. It is tomorrow night, like I said, at the Live-In Drive-In Concert Series, Citizens Bank Park parking lot. Each ticket is good for one car and a maximum of four people per car to enjoy the show from the comfort of your own vehicle. Some tickets still remain. You can see the full schedule, complete guidelines, and Marissa's five tips for attending the drive-in shows at WMMR.com. So we'll get set for that. What's up on the program today, Pierre?
Workforce blocks of Lynyrd Skynyrd of Shinedown to get us ready for the big live-in drive-in tomorrow, and of the Rolling Stones.
All right. Tomorrow, let me thank our sponsors, actually. The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Labor Day, a better way at Fred Beans. They're also a sponsor. You can check them out online at fredbeans.com. And also Rita's. Try the Reese's Peanut Butter Mudslide Treats at Rita's. Tomorrow on our program, we're wrapping up the week in fine fashion. We will have John David Washington of Tenet on tomorrow. We're also going to have Kevin Nealon on, and actor Anthony Starr, who plays a character called Homelander on a show on Amazon Prime called The Boys. It's wild.
It's my favorite show of the past couple of years. It's just amazing.
Yep. So, and he's one of the main characters, so we're going to talk to him. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Hello, everybody. Hello. It's Wednesday, my dudes. I just want to say hello.
Next message.
Way to put it in the work there, Flyers. I mean, it was a little rough there, but I got to say, it was good. It was absolutely beautiful to get the overtime. Way to go.
Next message.
Yes, another summer come, another summer almost gone. And, of course, right at the end of it, as the goddamn weather starts to break, I get sick as like usual. Nose running off my face like an a**hole. Me.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.